Hello, everyone.
What up?
You know, I tried to push the camera more towards me than I did last time, and it's still not turned enough.
Yeah, you don't.
That's better.
You don't have a good sense of that.
That's better, man. Okay, now we stop looking at ourselves. All right.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Seth and Colby Show.
Welcome.
It's the show all about shows. Hey. Lean in there and turn my mic to both channels, because right now I'm only in people's right ear, which won't matter to people listening, but
is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at it. Now it's even.
That's better.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want it to be consistently good.
Well, that's
Pinella better. Just said, I have no sound. Hope you're talking to me.
I died.
Like, is he literally just watching us?
Hope you're taking to me.
Oh, he does say taking to me. Yeah.
We're not taking you.
No. Should we do like visual things?
Yeah.
Very confused.
Is the stream playing audio or not?
Getting a fight or something?
Does it even matter? Screw it.
No, he's at like a family function.
Oh.
So he's just not paying attention. He can't listen to it because we're embarrassing for families or whatever.
Oh, I gotcha.
So he's just not listening, but we're here.
Yes.
So he complained before the show went live about how it needs to start on time.
Be on time.
But then he's not even listening.
And then he's like, oh, good, it is. All right, I'm leaving.
Everything looks good, though. No major lag. Gotta go, though. Have a good show. All right, thanks, man.
Glad to see you started on time. Now I'm out of here. Just want to make sure. Don't like lying up in this bitch.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
What are we going to talk about today, man?
Lots of things.
So
man.
I went and saw Transformers
on Friday. Yeah.
I now have a terminal disease, and I want to talk about that. Also, White Cameron, as he's affectionately known on our show,
yes.
The owner. Well,
Mr.
not the
Duo.
Owner. I keep calling him the owner.
Mr.
He's not
Duo.
The owner. The CEO of Duo,
Operator. Of
the pizza delivery place. He's having a baby.
Yeah.
Talk about that. It's kind of weird. And we got like a
surprising.
Lot of movie stuff about weed. No Trump, really.
No Trump.
I skipped over the Sean Spicer is no longer the press secretary thing because
I didn't even hear
what
about
do you
that
even
one.
Say
I mean,
about it?
I've just been, I think I hit a wall with the Trump stuff.
Yeah, it's over.
I literally,
it's done.
I hit the wall with the Trump stuff.
The wall ain't going to get built, though, man.
Yeah.
So you can't hit
it's
it.
It's a fence. It's there.
But that was already.
We got it.
That's not the Trump
fence. It's a
fence.
Wall. It's a placard wall with slits in the middle.
It's a wall riddled with holes, but they're the best holes, the biggest
holes.
Just
surprisingly wide enough for a small child to fit through, you know?
Yeah, and a fully grown, overweight Mexican man.
Because that's a wall.
Yep, that's how walls work. And if you disagree, well, you must not be an American.
Yep.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, actually, not that.
Not
that. We've already
literally,
finished talking
we
about.
Did.
We're done with it. Yep. But does my voice sound weird?
Yeah. You sound very weird.
Does this sound differently than
like
normal?
Like, literally so strange, man.
I feel like you're...
You sound like Sean Connery right now, and it's freaking me out.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Well...
If I sound like Sean Connery, I would just pretend to be Sean Connery. Because there's no way Sean Connery would ever know that I stole his identity for my podcast.
He would.
No, he's like 175 and lives in Scotland.
We would... Keyword
I
our
call
episode
Sean
was Sean Connery.
Connery. You think he's gonna
hit,
Google
he would
himself?
See a Google.
He's James Bond. He doesn't need us.
He's got agents for that, man.
His agents don't. He ain't making his agents money. They don't care.
They
like, oh, what's Sean Connery?
He pays them
in his kitchen
to keep his shit up.
What?
Start the show.
What stuff?
Start the show.
All right, it's a minute and 30 seconds. We're back.
Who are Seth and Colby? So-called podcast gods who blazed the trail for talk radio on the internet.
What a ridiculous name.
First partnering in 2008, Seth and Colby took the internet by storm with their unique views on the hot topics of the day.
Science is a liar sometimes.
We won't lie. They've been away a while. A lot of things may have changed.
The 45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
But Seth and Colby are here to teach you.
This is America. You're either a duper or a dupee. I'm a duper. You guys are the dupees.
To entertain you.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
And to make you laugh. Seth and Colby will dissect the world as it is. Movies, meme culture, music, weird science.
We didn't have time to work out the minutia of the plan.
And they'll bring it to you in a lovely package that will delight you and those closest to you. Now, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, and attack helicopters, here are Seth and Colby.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your host, Sean Connery, and I'm here with my other host,
Tom Cruise.
Dude, Sean Connery, Tom Cruise show would be amazing.
Would have been a better Mummy movie.
Although Sean and Tom is also a better name for a show.
Sean and Tom.
We should have been the Sean and Tom
go down
show.
Go down the toilet. Well,
one of them, there's only one left. The other guy is not. We went over this before we started. He's not doing anything.
Sean Connery?
Yeah, he's not doing nothing, man.
Is he really not? Is he retired from the acting?
He's been retired for like 20 years.
I didn't know. All I know is his accent. I don't pay attention to the man.
And his accent sounds exactly like mine. That's the point that we're trying to hit home.
Yep.
Welcome, guys, to the Seth and Colby Show. This is episode number 7 for June 25th, 2017.
Halfway through 2017, man.
We are almost there. Yeah.
Does not feel like
it. And it's officially summer and, other things in June.
It's hot. It's going to get hot.
It's actually not hot today, which is why it's scary, because it's hot. Yeah, exactly. We are live every Sunday at 2 o'clock Central Time at duo.com/live. And also, you can subscribe to the video I did kind of sound like Sean Connery over there.
The video
on duo.com/YouTube. And you can get all of the downloads to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. But really, the one thing you need to know is to go to sethandcolby.com. Because the man who is newly pregnant made the worst name ever. I'm going to lay all the blame on him. The CEO is on. He decided to name it Duo.
Came up with Duo.
DEWOH.com. Probably just driving around in his car trying to think of 5-letter domain names. Don't care if they make sense. Care if they could be spelled. Care if they could be pronounced. All of that out the window because the content's so great, it doesn't matter what the name of the thing is. Yeah. Sorry, I had a little bit of a
break.
Yeah, I broke
down. Yeah, you broke.
But yeah, go to sethandcolby.com. You can spell our names. Links to the videos, links to the audio, the iTunes. There's t-shirts there. You can buy those. You can join the fan club if you want to give the new guy who has baby money because he doesn't share it with us.
New daddy money.
I built him a whole website to give him money and he doesn't share it with us. Just want that to be known. Also, the first subscriber that ever signed up was a lady who got pregnant, so...
They will die.
Like, Cameron is self-funding by impregnating women and dating women. Which is fine, I guess.
That's how he gets funded, I guess.
Yeah, it seems unethical, but good for him. But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm Seth East Colby.
We're
here to entertain you. Okay, so where do you want to start, man?
TC.
TC?
Tom Cruise. Where do I want to start?
Where do you want to start, man?
I don't know. We've been mentioning Cameron. Do we have anything else to say about baby?
Well, I mean, really, besides the fact that he just randomly impregnated some woman.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Like, you told me that they'd been dating for a while, and I'm like,
well,
what?
Dating as much as Cameron dates
someone.
Right. Like, they've been dating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been dating. But to Cameron, they've been seeing each other, or he's her chick. He's his chick.
Uh-huh.
Just some lady he goes and sexes. That's what he is to Cameron. But in real life, where we all live, they've been dating for quite a while.
Okay.
Like, I went to that Comic Con for Duo, when was that, March?
Yeah.
I think it was like March. Like, she came at that point and brought him a Chipotle burrito and brought us cookies. That was the first time only time I've ever met her.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he was like, I didn't want her to come and bring me a burrito because I'm a man and I don't need none of that because I'm a man. And that's how he acted. I'm a man. This is my man voice because I'm a man. I'm going to build myself a tractor and I'm going to drive it to the farm.
God, that's Alex
Jones. I'm Alex Jones.
That was the best Alex Jones I've ever
I'll
heard.
Never be able to recreate
it. God, that was so good.
So, the point is, they've been dating for a long time, but he's been in denial, and now she's pregnant, so I guess they're dating now.
Yep.
Well, and apparently he found out that she was pregnant, I mean, I would assume, like, a month or so ago, because, like, you don't announce it, like, I took the pregnancy test this morning, I'm going to put it on Facebook this evening.
Yeah,
so, like, I assume he's known for a few weeks, and not this last episode of High Hopes, but the one before that was the first time that he mentioned that they were a girlfriend.
Mm.
So, like, she might have been pregnant for a month before he even put a label on it. And now they just refer to themselves as the baby mama and the baby daddy.
Baby mama.
So I don't know why they're so scared of labels.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're going to go to, like, the courthouse when you have a baby and be like, father's name. He's going to be like, I'm not the father, I'm the baby daddy, all right? Can we get some white out up in here? You know, he's a big, sassy black lady.
Get some white out up in here.
Then cut out that
don't
father.
Don't give me none of that.
We don't want to see no fathers. We only want to see baby daddies. So, but the whole point, and the reason I bring this up, okay, is because I have, you don't know this because you don't check our Twitter at all.
No.
But I have started a Twitter war with Cameron over the last month or so. Basically, anytime he starts late, you know, because he goes live at 7 o'clock every Monday, every time he starts late, anytime there's an episode not up the next day, anytime he tweets something dumb, I reply at him, and I retweet it from the Seth and Colby account, and I'm like, guess who's not live at 7:01 p.m. on Monday night at Wolf1, hashtag high hopes. Is it dead? Question mark. Like, I've been doing that for a month. All right, because our show is just pounding his show in the ratings. Just pounding it like crazy, all right? Except for this baby announcement episode, which is reverse pounding us because he had a baby. How can we compete with that,
man? There's really no competition.
It's like the one day a year you get like a million Facebook likes. It's like, I'm going to be a mommy.
I could stab you, man.
What? Why are you stabbing me?
That would get ratings. People would be like, some guy gets stabbed in that episode?
Why,
I'm watching that.
I think the reason
you
got
to top a baby, and the only top to a baby is death.
He told his whole family that he made the birth announcement on High Hopes.
Yeah.
His dumb podcast.
Right.
Like, I think his immediate family knew. But, like,
he made it on Facebook. That's where I saw it.
After High Hopes, though.
Oh, was it?
He debuted it on High Hopes, and then he made it public. Mm. Like, he shared the photo on their live stream, which looks like a potato.
I watched that episode.
Like, Minecraft has better graphics than his live stream. All right, he showed it on there.
Burn.
And then he...
Coming at you hard.
And I guess what I want is I want all of Cameron's family to listen to our show so we get the bump. Because if we put the Cameron and Armenta's families...
Uh-huh.
On our show and our audience, War One, dude. It's like D-Day, and we're Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks.
Name the episode like Wolford's Get Free Cake.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. Look what I did. Okay, I describe the episode every week.
Uh-huh.
Dude, look at what I put in big caps.
Baby, what?
Because a whole bunch of his family subscribed, and everyone gets emails. So it's like, this is peers of the email. So I'm hoping people are like, oh, we're gonna talk about Cameron.
There
is this Cameron's show? Maybe this is Cameron's show. Yep. But the fact we have zero watchers right now doesn't bode
Wolford.
Like, a Cameron show hosted by Cameron, and then we show up, and I'm just like wearing a wig and squinting.
Squinting.
Because he is
squinting. Burn.
And I think the worst part about my radio war, as I spittle everywhere, is that he doesn't respond to my insults. Like, he just ignores our show. He just takes it. It's like I'm sure it bothers him.
Oh, yeah. It's eating him up inside.
But he just doesn't respond.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, Cameron's the type
just
of
give
guy
you the
that,
same
like,
shit
if
back.
I knifed him, he'd be like, all right. I've been knifed.
I guess.
Yeah, it hurts.
Are you not entertained?
I could turn this into a joke somehow.
Hey, you remember that one time you stabbed me? That was great, right?
But, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm happy for Cameron and everything. He's like, I never thought I'd see Cameron with a baby.
Yeah, that was not...
Mm-mm.
I would
course,
not
I
have guessed that either.
You probably never imagined seeing Cameron with a baby.
I would assume that as well, but...
What do you think?
You know, like, Nick Marceau?
Yeah.
He has a baby.
Yeah, you know what? But once he stopped hanging out with us, he probably got normal. Because the problem is, he's the people that hang out with me and Cameron, they're weird, right? Like, Me and Cameron are an exclusive club of people who have had their entire adult lives documented in audio and video on the internet, and we haven't taken it down. It's there.
Yeah.
And one day, our spawn will find it, and they will no longer respect us, because they'll know everything.
I cannot wait until Aaron comes up to you and be like, Dad, so I listen to your show.
And I'll be like, son,
I have questions.
Let me show you this show called Seth and Brian. And then he can disrespect two people at least.
There you go.
No one to look at.
Three people. Sarah's in that, too. All three of them.
Dude, it's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point, man. It's a good point. As long as I'm bringing the entire ship down with me, I don't mind going
just
down.
Burn it!
As long as it's not just me.
Captain goes down with the ship,
man. That's what I hope. And those are probably the worst times because they're not reflective of us now. That's like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like that's not anything like
people.
Us anymore.
You're definitely different people.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be interesting for him to experience.
Although, but Cameron is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we met Cameron, he was hosting bikini contests in Aggieville, and you tell me
that is true
that he wouldn't go host a bikini contest in Aggieville right now.
I would say probably, yeah.
Yeah, he would definitely do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because when we got started, like, we were listening to Fergie. We don't listen to Fergie anymore. There's no more Fergie.
Hey, speak for yourself.
You are the one who do deafened me with Fergie. So.
London Bridge, be falling down.
It's
going down. Oh, God, that.
So, yeah, dude. It's
were my ears just blown by Fergie?
Laughing hysterically at my pain.
Good times.
So that's Cameron's baby. I want to talk about Transformers.
Please.
I need to get a lot of stuff off my
chest
this week.
I've been 3-4 weeks now. I've been like, I want to see it because of the new technology. And you're like, why?
Okay. This is what I thought. I told Chris this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You said you wanted to see Transformers because of like it was shot on IMAX and stuff, right? Isn't that why you wanted to see it?
Michael Bay took two of the huge IMAX cameras and put them side to side.
Right.
So it's literal
8K
3D.
Yeah. Okay, I remember you saying that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you right now. It
looks the same.
That's horse shit.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right? It's
looks same.
Straight made up.
Okay.
All right? And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you use a regular, like, or I guess I shouldn't say regular, because I'm sure they're using, like, the red epic dragon and it's still ridiculous or whatever. But, like, Transformers Last Night is bad. It's so bad Transformers Last Night is being live streamed full movie and was stolen.
That's awesome.
That sounds about right. But anyway.
It does.
So you're shooting it with like the Red Epic Dragon and you know it's like it's not 16:9. It's whatever theater format is. But it doesn't fit the IMAX screen. It's a little shorter than the IMAX screen, you know. Because like when it's IMAX, it's full frame, basically. So I was watching. Because I remember you see it being like, it's so great.
Right.
Every time that it was just robots on screen, IMAX.
Right.
Every time there was a person on screen, regular frame. So it's all fake. Like,
that's
there were some
stupid
exceptions. Like, the movie opens with this medieval battle.
Right.
With, like, trebuchets. And it look the 3D looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's beautiful to look at. And that's all in IMAX. And then the second they cut to present time with Marky Mark running around... Like, literally, there will be scenes of dialogue between Optimus Prime and Mark Wahlberg.
Are you fucking
kidding?
And
when it's Optimus Prime, it's full-frame IMAX. And when they switch to the next line, it's back to standard-frame Mark Wahlberg.
That is so
dumb.
So
all the digital-only scenes are IMAX.
Well, you know why? Is because that scene required a two-camera shoot. And he had already taken his two IMAX cameras, put them together. So then he was like, well, shit, now I got to shoot with a DSLR. So, Mark, sorry, you're not in IMAX.
So,
we gotta give it to Optimus.
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
This movie will kill you if you
kill
go see
you.
It. How many Transformers have you seen?
I've seen all of them.
Okay, I'm surprised you're alive. How bad are they?
Like, they're really bad. Like, the only times I ever watch them... Okay, here's the amount of times I've seen them in IMAX.
Okay.
I've seen every single one of them in IMAX.
Okay.
At least once.
All right. Did you ever
I've
re-watch
never
them?
Watched them on DVD.
Okay.
Ever.
So you went and see them in IMAX for the spectacle?
Yes.
All right. I wish someone would have told me that that's the only reason to go see
them. Oh, that's 1,000%. Thought that was known.
Dude, I kind of wish we would have went together so because we could spend 4 hours roasting the movie. Like, we could literally do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 on this movie. It's so not good. Like, robots are cool looking.
Yeah.
There's some really awesome looking cars in it. Like, cars look sweet.
Of course, yeah. Hot chick.
Yeah, there's a hot chick.
Yep.
I don't really know anything about the characters. Like, I don't know why Shia LaBeouf is no longer in the movies.
He got crazy and like had a falling out. I thought him and Michael Bay like don't like each other now.
Well, yeah, but why story wise is he not in the movies? Because Anthony
I thought this
Hopkins
was like a different time frame now.
Oh, is it like years after?
I thought.
Well, he's dead in these new movies because Anthony Hopkins is a wiki dude.
Right.
And he says he's the only one alive.
Huh.
And they show a picture of him, and it looks, it's Shia LaBeouf doing this face, and his hair is like sticking straight up like this. So it's an obvious slam against Shia LaBeouf. I don't really understand why.
That makes me love Michael Bay. Oh, God. You've seen Shia and the shit.
Yeah, he's a
been
crazy man.
He's a crazy man.
He's a crazy man. Stanley Tucci is in this movie for 5 minutes.
Who is he?
He's like, if I pull him up, you'll recognize him.
I know. I recognize the name.
Stanley Tucci. He's a very well-respected actor. All right. Like, he's in a lot of movies like Meryl Streep. My internet is just tanking.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, right?
Yeah,
there.
Caesar.
Right. So he's in the
Hunger
movie.
Games.
Anthony Hopkins is in the
right.
movie. He's one of the most respected actors. He might be the male Meryl Streep. All right. He's like a god among actors.
Right.
He's in the movie in a huge
He's
part.
Done some shit, man. He's done some shit. Especially in this later part
it just
of his life.
Make any,
like,
well, yeah.
I thought it was like
he's
a
in a
recent
lot of bad movies
movie
recently. Yeah.
That was bad. And then right after that, he was in Westworld. And I was like,
yeah, and you
how
know
you gonna,
how good he is in Westworld?
How are you going to go from that to that?
Dude, he deserves an Oscar for Westworld, and it's on TV.
He was very, very well acted.
So good. And Mark Wahlberg is the most Mark Wahlberg. He's the guy from Ted in this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. That's what I thought. He
right.
was like that in his first one.
So he's phoning it in. He's just being the Ted
bad.
Guy.
Bad. No acting.
There
he's
is
like,
a 14-year-old girl in this movie who's in the movie for no reason.
Okay.
All right. Do you care if I spoil the complicated
no,
plot of Transformers?
Go for it.
I would ask the audience if they care, but I don't
give
care.
A damn.
Because if they care about Transformers,
if you care about the plot of Transformers, yeah, just don't even.
I'm not even
going
to spoil the plot because honestly, I couldn't explain
movies.
To you the plot. It doesn't make sense.
I know Optimus Prime goes bad.
That's yeah, it. He's in the movie maybe 10 minutes of screen time.
Wow.
Total. All right. Let me try to explain to you the plot.
Okay.
In the 1400s, no, scratch that. They never give a date. It's the Dark Ages, England. It literally said England, the Dark Ages.
Couldn't
even Wikipedia when
history.
That is.
Yep.
All right. Stanley Tucci is Merlin.
Okay.
Okay. And he's found this old Transformers ship that's crashed. I did not know this, but apparently Transformers are aliens and they come from space.
Right.
So he finds one of their big old ships with one
they
of the Transformers.
They live on their planet.
Well,
whatever they
yeah, Cyber or Cybertron.
Yeah, that one.
They came from there.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 1400s, they crashed. Merlin found it.
Okay.
And they never really explained if all of his power came from the Transformers or if just this one time in the movie mm-hmm. he used it because of the Transformers. But basically, the Knights of the Round Table, Lancelot and Arthur and all the
are
people.
Are you kidding me?
Are fighting the Huns or whoever they fought in the Dark Ages, okay? The Muslims, the Crusades. They say Crusades like 5 or 6 times. Taking my shoes off. And
what? You're telling me King Arthur is in Transformers?
Yeah, he's in Transformers.
Are you shitting me?
No.
Didn't like King Arthur just come out?
Dude, if you're going to get mad about this detail, you should probably strap in.
Legend of the Sword. Okay. I want to see if it was the same production company or not. Continue.
Okay. So King Arthur in there, they're all fighting the Huns or whoever they fight back in the olden days. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know that much about. Like, I feel like they fought the Germans or something back then. I don't really know. But anyway.
Muslims.
It's whoever
Islam.
they say crusades a ton.
Crusades
so it's probably
is against them. Islam.
So here's what happens: the Muslims are just they're bashing in
yeah.
the English.
Okay,
all right. And Merlin shows up. There's like literally 15 minutes of this opening that's just trebuchets flying and arrows flying. Yeah. It's just no dialogue, and people just be like, "Where's Merlin?" And Arthur's like, "He will be here." And literally one guy is like,
"Jesus."
Arthur, my king, I would lay down my life to you, but waiting on this man is not sage advice. It's literally like that the whole movie.
Wow.
And he's like, he will be here. And literally, you just cuts to Merlin drinking whiskey on a hilltop, riding a horse. All right. And he rides to this spaceship. And there's a big transformer inside. They don't show anything but the guy's hand and foot because he's like, you know, this big next to the transformer. The transformer hands him a staff. The staff transforms into like this badass looking metal staff, and then a three-headed dragon transformer comes out of nowhere and roasts all the Muslims, and they win. That's yep. how the movie begins.
Well, that's great.
Now, I tell you this, because the rest of the plot is literally can be contained to a nutshell.
All right.
Optimus Prime is floating through the cold of space,
uh-huh.
lands on Cybertron. There is a lady...
Luck?
I don't know.
Pure luck.
Never saw the other
Pure
movies.
Luck.
I assume that he just took off in that direction, and because it's space...
I don't even remember the last, the ending to the last one, but I'm pretty damn sure he was not in space.
He's definitely in the
wrong,
cold of space.
Yes.
Like, he's got ice on him and shit.
Right.
All right? He lands on Cybertron. When he gets there, there is a lady who looks like Medusa. She has, like, snakes for hair. And okay. she claims to have created all of the Transformers. She is God.
And she looks, what, like a human, kind of?
Yeah, she's got,
she's
like,
not
a
human
robot. Face. She's green. She's got a human face.
So just
and, like,
an alien
snakes,
makes
snakes
robots.
Coming out of her. Okay. There's, yeah, exactly. It's exactly right. And she's just floating on this dead planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Optimus Prime, I don't even remember why he was there. He was like, why is my world dead? And she's like, because the knights betrayed me and stole my staff. Okay. So that sets
That's
up-
why all this shit, all the previous fourth movies yes. for the Transformers coming yes. to Earth and fucking with her shit
yes.
is because this lady doesn't have a fucking staff.
So the idea is that all the Transformers have been coming to Earth for these hundreds and thousands of years to find the staff. Okay.
Fuck
ever since 1495
no.
or whenever. All
Fuck
right?
it.
No, I'm not even close to being done yet.
Fuck it. That's the plot of the first, the second, the third, and the fourth Transformers movie. It's some old-ass relic is here on Earth that came here a long-ass time ago, and they need to find it before the Mega or the Decepticons do.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Medusa lady.
Yeah.
Or fucking...
Well, the Decepticons and the
God.
Medusa lady in this movie are on the same side. Okay? So, Optimus Prime... is basically told that Cybertron is his home
mm-hmm.
and Earth is an ancient planet called Unitron or
oh,
something like that.
Okay.
okay. And mm-hmm. Unitron has always been at war with Cybertron, and I don't really know why Cybertron got destroyed,
what
but basically Earth
fuck?
Won. Earth won and Cybertron got blown up. And so the lady possesses Optimus Prime
mm-hmm.
and he turns into Oh shit, I gotta remember. Babe, do you remember what Optimus Prime's name was?
Optimus Elite.
No, it was something Prime.
Optimus
it was like
Snakehead Man.
No, it was like it's like Ravager Prime or
Dick,
something. It's
Dickhead.
Something equal. Let's just say it's Ravager Prime
because
it's basically that. All right, you don't see Optimus Prime for the next 2 hours. All right, his eyes go from blue to red.
All at the very beginning,
and they start pushing the planet towards Earth
mm-hmm.
to crash it into Earth to destroy Earth. That's all you see of that till the end of the movie. In between all of that. There is a 14-year-old girl who is building a robot out of a Vespa. Okay?
Okay.
She is rescued by Mark Wahlberg at the beginning of the movie from the military. Mark Wahlberg escapes the military, drives to South Dakota where his junkyard is. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And he's just hanging out there. It turns out the little girl with the blue Vespa robot hitched a ride with him unbeknownst, and now she has to be taken care of by Mark Wahlberg. Okay? While that's happening, the military people, led in by Dosh Dehumel, who, again, is way better than this movie, doesn't need to be in this movie. He's like the leader of the militia. I'm assuming he's in the other movies, too.
He was in the first three, not the one
okay.
with Mark.
Well, he's like a CIA agent or something,
right.
whatever, mm-hmm. special forces. He's a scuba diver. He's a helicopter pilot.
He's everything.
He's everything. He's the most impressive
soldier
of
he's
all
the
time.
Soldier.
Captain America looks at this guy and goes, damn.
Yep.
All right, so he now is meeting up with Megatron, who apparently had been in hiding but is now back.
He's still alive?
Yeah, like it didn't even act like he was hurt. Was he hurt?
He died in the third one. He died in the second one. Pretty sure he died in the first one, too.
Okay, well,
they were he always was brought back.
He looks A-okay,
oh,
and they
my
meet
God.
They meet in the desert, and Megatron, they what they want is they want information on... these big half circles are rising out of the earth. Okay? Because when Mark Wahlberg was rescuing the girl, he found one of the old knights who gave him an amulet. And
mm-hmm.
the amulet like attached to his arm and it's on his body now. He doesn't know what it does or why it's there. He doesn't ask any questions about it, to be honest. It doesn't even freak him out.
Amulet, cool, sick, bro.
Yeah, he doesn't even do that. it jumps on him, he goes, and then there's the next scene because Michael Bay has a cut every 5 seconds. 5 seconds is 5 seconds too many. So ever since that happened, these giant half-circle claw-looking things have risen out of the earth, and Megatron claims to know why, and so he shows up to negotiate with Josh Duhamel, and he gets out four of his other buddies, Mohawk, a guy who looks like a police car.
Is Tyrese in it?
Who's Tyrese?
The black one? Bald black man and
I
fast.
I don't think so.
Fast.
I don't think so.
Wow.
I'm not sure, though.
He wasn't the first one. There's, I'm surprised but he didn't gets, get him back.
All these guys who, if Megatron Paycheck. Died, I assume they died, too. Paycheck. Paycheck's a thing, in it? I
who?
Think so.
Paycheck?
Is that what you said?
I just said he wants He should
I don't know,
do
dude.
It for a paycheck.
They have terrible names.
They do. They that definitely names. Could be a Transformer
it
name.
It sounds like a Transformer name that
Paycheck.
Works.
Paycheck.
Okay, and he gets them out, and then immediately they go to kill... Mark Wahlberg, who Josh Duhamel just let go
right.
to go to South Dakota, all right, with Bumblebee. They just let them both go because, you know, they're the good guys, but no one believes them. Just Josh Duhamel's that good, you know.
Right.
But the second he negotiates, they're literally heading to South Dakota to kill him. And the army is behind the Megatron people because they want them to kill Mark Wahlberg, and then they're going to kill the Megatron people. Don't know why this is even in the movie.
Okay.
That obviously doesn't go right. Megatron gets destroyed. They literally kill everyone but the police car and Megatron in that next scene. So they just spent 10 minutes introducing all these badass evil Transformers, and then three of them get decapitated by the Asian racist Transformer immediately.
Of course.
Immediately killed.
I was going to say Paycheck's got to be like, what, a Jewish one?
Bagel Man. So those characters were for nothing. In this scene when they're fighting, the girl is just there running behind Mark Wahlberg. Literally
Robots!
Does nothing.
Oh my god.
Okay. Literally does
Robots!
Nothing. And then a butler, a robot butler,
oh god,
shows up and says, "Mark Wahlberg, come with me. We need to go talk to what ends up being Anthony Hopkins."
Uh-huh.
Okay? So he just leaves. Him and Bumblebee just leave. And he goes, turns to go and goes, "Your family now. They'll take care of you," meaning the other Transformers that are there. And he just leaves. You don't see the girl or the other Transformers till the end of the movie. Okay?
Okay.
So far, this middle has nothing to do with anything.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, in England, the hot lady is a professor... And she's like a PhD student or a PhD professor, a doctorate, and is a philosopher at Oxford University. Okay?
That's a lot.
She also gets kidnapped by a Transformer and is taken to Anthony Hopkins. They both arrive at Anthony Hopkins' house. He explains to Mark Wahlberg that he is the chosen knight because he is chaste, loyal, has integrity, all the qualities of knights or whatever. And he says to the woman, "You are the last living descendant of Merlin, and the staff is buried with Merlin, and only the descendant of Merlin can hold the staff." Okay?
Okay.
That's the plot. So now the entire idea is to stop the planet from crushing Earth. They have to get the staff. They haven't said what they're going to do with the staff yet. No, I'm supposed to ask that question.
Yep.
Like, generally, if I was telling a story, I'd be like, they're going to use the staff, you know, to stop the Earth or whatever. They didn't say. They just know that they got to get the staff. Next scene, they're running away from the police. They end up at a World War II submarine. Okay? It's literally dry docked. It's on stilts, on a cement embankment, next to the ocean. Anthony Hopkins literally walks up to the ticket counter and goes, "This museum is closed permanently." Don't even see him put down money, he just says it. And then inside, Mark Wahlberg is there with the lady. She touches the steering wheel and the entire submarine turns on, jumps the wood, it lands in the ocean, and they start going down into the deep. We don't know where. They don't say how they know where they're going. They just start going.
So these three people?
No, because because the robot butler stays, but Anthony Hopkins says he can no longer journey with them. His time is over.
So literally two people are operating a submarine?
With the butler, yes. Yes, that's what's happening. A World War II nuclear submarine.
Yeah, because Mark definitely knows how to drive one of those, or the butler for that matter, because he was definitely around in World War II and definitely
in submarine.
Well, the
butler has been taking care of the Witwickies or whatever for like thousands of years, like
great.
The entire purpose of them, okay? They're a secret society. Like, I'm leaving a bunch of really dumb details. Like, what I'm telling you now is the cliff notes of stupidity.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, Anthony Hopkins is an old or
he's the last living member
of Wiki.
He's the last living member of the Witwickians, right, which is a society. So he may not be related to the Witwicky, because I think his last name's Vogel.
So we missed a really dark Transformers movie then.
Well, I don't know.
We missed a dark Transformers movie where Shia dies, his parents die, their dogs die.
I mean, were they members
die.
Of the secret society?
Oh, there were Witwickies.
I mean, that's what I would think,
and
right?
It was their family that had found the Transformers at the very beginning or something like that. You would definitely, the
right.
fucking parents would definitely be in the fucking Witwickians if there's such a thing.
It doesn't make
so
any sense.
So it's gotta either be, I think it's after, because they got, I don't really know the time frame at all.
It's too complicated.
There is a dark Transformers movie where Shia's entire family is murdered in cold blood.
They can't
for
cast
Wit-
it though,
Wickians.
Shia can't be.
Yeah, Decepticons, man, well, they murder.
It's weird because they don't even mention what happens to him. Like, they don't mention he's dead. It's just literally they show a photo of him while they mention the Witwicky society
so
that
weird.
He's a part of, and that's it. So they're piloting the submarine.
Uh-huh.
They have a huge fight with another nuclear submarine that Josh Duhamel's on.
Oh, my
Okay.
God.
They escape in their World War II submarine. They escape from
the
modern
day.
You're
telling me we have a submarine chase scene in this movie?
Oh, yeah. There's a submarine chase scene in this movie.
Fuck off.
Okay, so Josh Duhamel, after he realized they got away, he gets in a tiny little man-made, like,
I'm gonna stealth.
And he follows them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they end up at another alien ship at the bottom of the ocean.
Great.
Okay? On this alien ship, they find the other knights, and they find Merlin's casket. They open up Merlin's casket. He's holding a piece of wood. Mark Wahlberg picks it up and goes, "This is what we were looking for, a stinking piece of wood," and throws it across the place. All right? Then the robots inside got mad because they disturbed the coffin, and they start trying to kill Mark Wahlberg and Josh Duhamel and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, the girl goes and picks up the wood. It transforms into the regular-looking staff, and it's the real staff the whole time. It wastes another 10 minutes of our life.
Because
what I'm skipping every time I jump these Great Lengths of Time is 30 minutes of fight scenes that don't do anything.
Right.
Okay? As soon as she touches the staff, Megatron shows up. Starts also shooting all the knights, because the knights are against Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
They want to protect the staff. Why no one, Mark Wahlberg or whoever, who has told the whole story of the knights and Merlin and knows these guys should be on his side, doesn't turn to the knights and go, "Look, we're here to stop these bad guys, so these big knights are also on their side"? I have no idea.
Or that the knights would know that there would be a descendant eventually of Merlin.
You would think that as well.
Once she picked up the stick of wood and it turned into a metal staff, they would look at that and be like, I've only seen one person do that.
Yeah.
So.
You would think that. That's
maybe
not how it
that's
works.
Not a bad person.
They're probably all too distracted because now the alien ship is rising out of the depths of the ocean and starts floating up into the sky.
Great.
All right. On top, when it's about at sea level, I would say it's above the water, but not fully out of the water. It's a big ship.
Mm-hmm.
Optimus Prime shows back up. And starts whipping the ass of all the knights. He starts whipping the ass of the girl. He takes the staff and he rolls out. Okay?
Okay.
Now bear with me here. While they were at Anthony Hopkins' house an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anthony Hopkins tells him a story about how Bumblebee literally killed Hitler.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Literally, they show a flashback. They spend all this money on a big Nazi house. They put Nazi banners up.
Jesus.
And you just see Bumblebee murdering Nazis. Okay?
That sounds awesome.
When Optimus
That
Prime,
sounds like Inglourious Basterds mixed with
not,
Transformers.
It's not at all
it
that.
It should be. That's what that scene should have been.
It's not at
Burn
all
Burn down a theater with a whole bunch of Nazis in it.
Let me just tell you how cool it is. Okay? Here's what they show. Show a big Hitler house. Big old Nazi banners on it. Okay? You know, it's got a fountain in the middle and a road that goes
around.
Old World War II Jeep pulls up, all right? Nazi goes, "Are you invited?" And the guy looks at him like this, literally 5 seconds staring at him. "We weren't invited." And then the Jeep transforms into Bumblebee. Three dudes pop out of the trunk of the Jeep, and they just start shooting people. And you just see Bumblebee doing a bunch of flips and stuff, and then it cuts back to Anthony Hopkins.
Wow.
Okay, he doesn't go in the house.
Doesn't show him murdering Hitler?
No.
Aww.
No, they have to cast Hitler, man. They ain't got time for that. They waste all their money
Put
on Anthony
Michael
Hopkins.
Bay in a fake mustache and just throw him in there. If you gotta get the shot, you gotta get the fucking shot.
So, I tell you that to tell you this. When Optimus Prime flies off, Mark Wahlberg looks at Bumblebee and goes, "You gotta be that guy again!" Who's like this badass killer from the war that everyone remembers. Okay. And then Bumblebee takes off after Optimus Prime and they have a big fight.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Right as... I don't understand this. This might be a Transformer thing, but Bumblebee's on his back. Optimus Prime's on top of him, got a big sword, about to jab it into his neck. And Mark Wahlberg jumps on top of Bumblebee like he's gonna protect Bumblebee. Okay? That doesn't happen. Like... He's a giant robot, man. Yeah. You're going to die, too.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he does that, Optimus Prime like leans in with his hand and is about to stab him. And right as he pushes it with his hand, it trips something on Bumblebee's voice box. And Bumblebee talks with his real voice for, I guess, the first time in any movie.
I think so. Okay. I think they've pulled the we fixed his voice box.
Yeah, they
and here's
did. They did that
voice.
Joke in the fifth one as well. He turned into Siri for a hot second, and then he ripped it out. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was great. I was laughing my butt off.
That's hilarious.
And he just goes like Optimus, no, in his real voice. And Optimus turns back into Optimus Prime, and then you know he explains to Josh Duhamel and all the people and all the knights that they're good guys and that the Medusa is coming on the planet, which now is basically on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, this entire thing has happened over 2 days. The last hour of the movie happened over 2 hours.
Right, and they moved a planet across the galaxy in
yeah, at
2 days.
At near light speed.
Oh, yeah, faster than that,
probably.
And it shows
it, like, scraping. No, they say in the movie, at light speed. They literally give it a speed in the movie.
I think you would need to be, like, depending on where the fuck Cybertron is, like, the closest star to us is like 11 light years away or something
yeah,
like that. So that's literally 11 years at light speed.
Yeah.
So
that's the closest thing.
That's the closest thing to us right now. So you're telling me 3 days?
It got here in 3 days.
So it's chilling by Pluto. And we never notice Cybertron.
Yeah, they literally show it scraping.
Fucking stupid.
No, they explain
shit.
Why we didn't see it until it was too late, too. Because
mirrors.
It was using our sun to block out. Like, you couldn't look at it because the sun was there.
Oh. It stayed on the opposite side of the sun from us the entire time.
Yeah, the entire Earth.
That's how orbits work.
The entire opposite side of the sun for the whole Earth for 3 whole days. Science, bitch! And so it literally scrapes the Earth, like at the moon. It shows it like blowing up like another thing. It kills ISS. They show it destroying ISS.
That
they show it touching down
so
and
much shit up.
Scraping Hong Kong from the planet. Like, they're like destroying the Earth, dude. And this whole time,
like the Earth would just start following it after that. It would just start orbiting.
Well, what it's doing, because Tony Hale, you know, Buster Bluth, Emmy Award winner from Veep, who's also way better in this movie, plays the scientist from the JPL in this movie, okay? Mm. And he's trying to... He literally comes on and he goes, "We could try to solve this problem with hobgoblins and mystics, or we could use science!" Like, he literally says that.
Wow.
Which doesn't make sense, because he's wrong, ultimately, because obviously science ain't gonna save it, because his lady's got a hold of wood staff, that's gonna save the planet.
Yep.
So I kind of sympathize with his plight, you know, because I wouldn't believe that either, but he ends up being wrong. Regardless, all right? He's up there, and it's them, and, like, Josh Duhamel has, like, 6 helicopters, and they get in a Megatron ship, and it flies into the upper atmosphere, and then they parachute down onto the planet where Medusa is. Okay? I could spend 30 minutes talking about this final battle. While they're there, they realize that the girl and the blue dude, the blue robot, have stowed away on the helicopters. They got there because the guys from South Dakota...
They're so good at sneaking.
Brought them there, and so she's there at the final battle, okay? None of the good Transformers die. None of them, okay? The only reason the blue dude's there, because he turns off a big gun. Like, they literally couldn't progress to the final room because there was a gun there shooting at them, and the blue guy snuck around and turned it off.
And the blue guy is
the little girl's... No, the little girl's Vespa robot. It's the only reason she's in the whole movie.
Literally, that's it.
That's it. And they could have just said, Bumblebee's gonna turn it off. They could have just done that. But nope, they had to add a little girl in.
They had to add Mark stole a child.
Don't know.
Across state lines.
Don't know, dude. Yeah, he did. He did. And eventually they kill the lady.
Uh-huh.
And the movie just ends.
There's always a really, like, taboo law being broken in Transformers. There's always it. Because he just transported an underage child across state lines.
Well, technically, the U.S. military did that.
Well, they let him. Well, either way,
she snuck aboard.
Either way. And then in the other movie, he was perfectly okay with letting like a 21-year-old hump a 17-year-old daughter because it's a.
She's not in the movie.
They were dating
by the way.
Before.
She's at college.
Oh yeah, she's dead.
She's in college.
Oh, yeah. She should have died.
She had one.
Just
voice
kill
line
everyone
in the movie.
Just kill everybody.
Yeah, because he can't even talk to her in the movie. He gets a phone, and he got 20 seconds, and she just talks to him, and he can't talk back because then she'd be, you know, assisting his fugitive status or whatever.
So fucking dumb.
Dude, it's the worst. Then they show the credits, okay? Michael Bay, floating over the desert, all this shit, all right? And then they go, right after the first round of credits, before the big scroll, they go to this lady in Egypt. All the pyramids have been destroyed, by the way. They're scraped off the earth. They show that happening, too. And the lady is there. At one of the big hook thingies, okay? They never explain what those are for. They're just there. They're still there. We don't know what they're doing or why they're there, but they're there, all right? She goes, don't touch that. They don't like it. And then a guy goes, huh? And then her face kind of glitches into metallic, and then the movie ends. So they set up Transformers 6.
He said this was the last one. Well, that he's doing. So you're telling me that they're going to continue making Transformers forever?
I guess so.
Just like Star Wars? Just like Marvel?
Except you could watch Star Wars and Marvel. This movie was so bad. I didn't pay for it. Okay? My mom took me.
That's good.
She took me, Chris, my son Aaron, my dad, my sister, her boyfriend, and Luke.
Wow.
All of this movie. That's like eight people.
That's a lot, yeah.
She spent like $200 to go see this garbage.
That's insane. Wow. Well, that sounds like the biggest pile of horse shit in...
Dude, just go watch it.
I want to, because all these like parts that you skipped sound awesome to see.
There's lots of fight scenes.
But...
They're really
like,
cool.
Like, I
want to
watch
scenes.
A planet scrape the fucking pyramids off the earth. That sounds cool.
It was cool.
But
it was very cool looking.
I don't want to sit through Mark, you know, throwing a wooden stick at a wall and be like, this is what we came here for? Of course it is. We suck at this, don't we?
If they literally... didn't have dialogue,
yeah,
it would be a better movie.
It should just be a silent.
It should be a silent
no
film. Because the plot doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, the plot is there's a planet going
just
to crash
music
into Earth.
Over the whole thing.
And they want it to kill Earth because then it will absorb Earth's power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say it's stopping our, it's cooling our core. And then Earth will turn into a microwave. And then it will rewarm Cybertron. And then Cybertron will become New Earth. But it'll only be for the Transformers.
Wow.
That's what they say. And it's a whole terrible thing.
Yeah, you know, when movies do science right, that is always good. And this is a prime example, I feel like. Just
dude, people
science.
Make fun of like Armageddon,
really,
another Michael
really.
Bay movie because like the science is ridiculous. Yeah. Armageddon looks like a PhD scientist film now. It's so bad.
He was just literally like, if this is my going out, I'm going to go out and throw whatever we got left, whatever ideas we have not done yet, throw them at the wall. We're going to put them in the movie.
Yeah, man. There's literally four or five car chases. There's at least a dozen Transformer-on-Transformer battles.
Yeah.
There's submarine chases. There's planets scraping other planets. There's trebuchets from the Middle Ages blowing up Muslims. There's arrows. There's robots with swords. There's robots with machine guns. John Goodman plays this giant army robot. Dude.
I thought he died in the last
dude, one. They're all alive and they're all fine.
Huh.
There's a guy who's in Mercedes who's Japanese.
Yeah, I feel like they're
Steve Buscemi's in it as
up.
A guy who like sells things. John Turturro lives in Cuba. He's in this movie. Yeah, I think he's in all the other ones.
Dude. Yeah.
Oh, in the whole battle, by the way, I forgot to mention this. The place where the planet lands is Stonehenge.
No, of course it is.
Because of course it is.
Of course it is. So
that's where
stupid.
That's where they quote open the portal.
Like
Megatron,
we just spent 40 minutes talking about that, and I still feel the need to see it.
You should go see it. I mean, you should wait till it's at the palace. No, actually,
I want IMAX.
Don't go see it. If you don't see it in IMAX, don't see it.
Right.
Because it's not worth seeing for anything
exactly.
But the visual spectacle
alone.
But I want
to pay $17 fucking dollars.
Dude, it's not worth the money.
So bad.
The action scenes
I'm
are so good, but it's not good.
God. Wow. Well, I mean, you didn't surprise me. I mean, There was some shocking things in there, but yeah, I know.
Anthony Hopkins dies.
I expected it to be.
Yeah, he gets killed by Megatron. He gets killed by Megatron. Yeah, that's Stonehenge.
No more wikis then.
I guess not. That's but they save one. Earth, I assume, even though there's something at the end of the movie.
Yep. Yep, there was that ancient race that came to Egypt way long ago before the Middle Ages.
It's Apocalypse.
But before the Middle Ages,
yeah.
Mind you, before that, where they had the little sun stealer at the top of the pyramid.
Oh, is this where the dinosaurs came from? Is that this movie, or is that
no,
another
that
one?
Was the fourth one.
Because there's a lot of dinosaur robots in this movie.
Okay, first one, Transformers 1, good.
Okay.
It was Megatron, and it was just simple.
I think I saw Transformers 1.
Transformers
it's been
2.
A long time. Never
critically
saw that.
Acclaimed to be the worst one.
How just can it be worse than
terrible.
This one?
There was racism, there was stupid jokes, there was unnecessary shit. It was the same plot rehashed. And then the third one I think was better received because of just how crazy the shoot was for it. Because they had to shut down parts of Chicago for that one
okay.
to like explode fireworks off the sides of buildings to get accurate lighting and shit like that for the because this big old race of Transformers. I think it's the Decepticons.
Yeah, they're the bad guys, right? Yeah, the Decepticons.
I think it's them that come and just like take over Chicago and form like a base there, and it's. That one's cool because of that only. That's an odd take. Like
so it's Chicago just badass kind. Looking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool fight scenes, great CGI. That's basically it.
Okay.
Plot's still basically the same. They got to do something before the bad guys win.
God, this is so disgusting, dude. I just pulled up the box office. Transformers 1 is number 69 all-time worldwide.
Wow, they have only gotten more
Revenge
money.
Of the Fallen is number 44. Dark of the Moon. So Revenge of the Fallen, you just said the worst one.
Yeah.
It was number 44 all time. The third one, number 10. Age of Extinction, number 14.
Number 18.
That's unbelievable.
All time North America box office ranking, number 18 would be Revenge of the Fallen, the worst Transformers movie made, but it made the most money.
Dude, that's a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's insane.
19%. Dark of the Moon has a 35. Age of Extinction has an 18. Last Night, the one I just saw, has a 15%.
Wow. Yep, well, you know,
it is a 27 Metacritic, which is 6 lower. No, 8 lower than number 2.
Yeah, see, the first one was pretty well received. 61 on Metacritic, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
For an action
movie. It's watchable, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even 35 for an action movie isn't that bad, honestly.
Huh. Yep, Transformers, bad
dude,
things.
What?
What? They're just money rakers.
I thought they would be dead.
They just
I thought
literally
this movie would
generate
kill
money.
It
obviously
was a full
not.
Theater. It was a full theater.
Well, I mean, it's... No.
My mom loves them.
It's, like, super close to getting the exact same amount as the last three.
Yeah, I wonder if... Wonder how much its budget is. Do you feel like a $200 million budget is just something they say now? Because this movie had to be more expensive than the last one, and it was $217 compared to $200. Like, you think of the salaries for Anthony Hopkins, Mark Wahlberg, John Turturro, Josh Duhamel, Tony Hale, and then all the voice actors who they had John Goodman in it, and I'm sure they had other people I didn't recognize. Their raises would total to more than $17 million.
Yeah. I wonder if the voice of Optimus, because I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who did it from, like, the cartoons or something when they first started.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's, like, because, I mean, you could replace the voice of Optimus Prime if you had to.
It's already made its money back, dude. Worldwide total of $265.3 million against a production budget of $217 million. Makes me cry a little bit, dude.
Yeah, because I bet you like $50 million in advertising, maybe marketing.
Well, yeah, but
maybe
all of
that
now is just gravy for them. Every dollar they make now, they've already paid the movie off.
So crazy.
I don't understand it, dude. It's the lowest audience score in the series, tied with Avengers: Revenge of the Fallen. But even then, it's still only B+. The Nazi On September 21st, 2016, shooting for a particular scene took place in Benheim Palace, Woodstock, Oxfordshire, in England, home of World War II British Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill. However, the mansion was dressed as a Nazi swastika-draped headquarters of Adolf Hitler. Oh my god. They draped Winston Churchill's mansion to look like Hitler's for that movie? For that 20-second scene?
That's worse than Hitler.
Maybe not that.
Dude, that's insane.
That's so disrespectful.
Dude, I'm just trying to move on.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. I don't understand it, dude. I don't understand it.
Fuck that shit.
Okay, we got to close this because I can't talk about Transformers anymore. Because I could literally... Let's talk about something important. Let's talk about your woodworking.
Me working with my wood?
Yeah, let's talk about your woodsmithing.
Yes.
All right.
So... I've found to have more free time recently, and so one of the things I've always kind of, you know, thought about doing was making furniture.
Like a man!
Like a man!
Like a man!
But, it seems really easy, and I know it's not.
Okay.
I'm just gonna be, like, once, I want to get into woodworking, but I need to get tools first. My father is not very much of a handyman, so I have to start fresh.
Well, isn't he like he's basically an accountant,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
So, yeah, no tools minus a hammer and, like, a screwdriver.
Does he still drive around that badass Mustang?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would need to start fresh, so I'm really considering whether or not I want to do it or not, but... It sounds interesting. I want to make, like, I was looking for a coffee table for my apartment, and I didn't find any that were cheap, or if they were cheap, they looked like crap.
How do you go about even building a coffee table?
You need wood and...
Okay, besides the wood, like, how do you start, like, how do you know?
You gotta...
Like, what? Do you build, like, how do you know, like... The specs.
I would find a template. YouTube
okay.
is
so you're
a
not going to build something from scratch.
Place. Probably not.
Okay.
No, not to start off with.
Do you have
Absolutely
comments about
not.
This 13-year-old who built this boat?
Fuck anybody who can make a boat, dude. Dude, you know, like that whole bottom part. Okay, you got to take long, really long. Thin pieces of wood, very flexible wood, and you gotta glue it on the sides of it and just basically strip it on, fitting each piece to each piece, and it looks terrible.
So you're not gonna do that, is
horrible.
What you're saying.
I'm not trying to get into woodworking for the craft of it. Like, people are like, look at this, like, beveled edge, or look at this handcrafted, like, cabinetry I
did.
What
about this thing?
I'm like, I wanna make a table.
What about the titty molding?
Yeah, what the? That is a tit!
Yeah.
Oh! That's hilarious.
Yeah, this guy made a piece of molding. When you hold it sideways and look down its silhouette, it looks like a topless woman. It
looks like a woman from side, just boob.
Boob.
That's pretty impressive. But,
Can you make cool shit like this? Okay. It's a high chair now. He flips it on its back. Now it's a rocking horse. And then he flips what I believe to be on its other back, and it becomes a little table. Can you make cool shit like that?
I could once I get the tools I need and, you know, do a couple of projects and kind of get the feel for things.
Like, I was kind of, I'm looking through Reddit's woodworking and I was kind of expecting to see some crazy stuff. And actually, this stuff looks just well done.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
it's not outlandish.
Wood, when you incorporate all the other stuff, that's when it starts to get a little interesting.
Like hinges and things
metal
like that.
And... like glass or plastic or anything like that. Yeah, that's when you kind of gotta.
Why don't you build a house?
Know what
dude.
You're doing.
Build a house.
Like that. That includes plumbing, wiring,
no,
insulation.
The foundation and stuff. You could like build all the supports.
Shut up.
Dude, I'd come help you build your
shut
house,
up.
Dude.
My idea is to get a semi fixer upper house. Like,
okay.
I want the foundation and the walls
right.
to be good.
Okay.
And then I could fix up cabinets or shit,
dude.
Paint. I don't know.
Paint?
Stuff to make it look better,
what
man.
What I want is a house that has a bad paint job, and I'm going to take care of it and then move all my stuff.
That's what I want to do. That sounds really fun to me.
I mean, that does sound fun. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the talent to
I
do
want,
that.
Yeah. Well, neither do I, but I want to learn to. You know.
I feel like you're at a better point than me, though, because you at least are an artist. You can visualize nothing and then see it in your head and make it happen with paper.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't do that. I do the opposite. I visualize a pizza, and then I visualize it disappearing into my mouth. Like, you create things I destroy.
I destroy.
Like, see, this guy, that's not woodworking. I mean, that's cool, but it's lame.
Birch by Apple.
That's not what I'm looking
Wait,
for.
Wait, no, click, go back to that. Is the Apple logo in the middle of the wood?
That's why it's crazy, because of the Apple logo in the middle of the wood.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, look at that.
That's hilarious.
It's pretty crazy.
And it's missing the bite, though.
That tree had to lose its life for that joke.
Yeah.
Tree.
But yeah, I want to make...
After waited almost 10 years, I finally bought my first house and got me a shop. Hooray. Let's see this guy. Is that what you want right there, man? A wood shop like
great.
That?
It's 3
o'clock.
My dad used to have something like that, man.
That'd be amazing.
I apologize to everyone who just heard my computer say it's 3 o'clock.
They hear it every single show.
Oh, is it in there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is the first time I apologize.
I hear it every time I re-listen to it.
Well, I would say I'd edit it out, but it takes too much time.
Well, they know that we're doing it at the right time.
Yeah, they know we're not lying because it's an hour in.
It's 7 p.m. on a Friday. We're here. But, yes, that's perfect size. You know what I want? I want Chris's place so bad.
Who?
Old Town.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like a garage little spot.
Area. Yeah.
And it's all fenced in, too, as property.
Would you want a place like Pinella's? Or is that too small? I mean, okay, let's take it out of the Rapeville area that it's in, but like an area where it's just a big open room where you can kind of do anything you want, but then it's got a living quarters in the back.
Yeah, that would be cool as well.
Like, Pinella's would be almost perfect, like if it walled off where the kitchen started.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just a big room and then his house.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking about like a almost livable garage too.
Well, you could get like I mean, I don't know what your budget is. I'm just going to pretend it's infinite.
Yep.
All right. So you could get a house on a piece of land that's a little bigger than what the house is, and you could build like a shop onto the side of the house.
Yeah. That sounds expensive.
Well, I said infinite budget.
Dude. Yeah, infinite budget. While we're at it, I will build a mansion with a swimming pool and a zombie bunker underneath that.
Nope.
And then a money generator in the basement.
Yeah.
Infinite budget though.
So the first thing you're gonna do is build a coffee table.
No, probably not. First thing I did was fill a hole in drywall.
Is that considered woodworking?
I would say so. Because I had to drill.
It's handy.
I had to cut a piece of 2x4 in half. And I had to drill that into the back of the hole in the wall to support the new piece of drywall I put in the middle of it. I had to cut that piece of drywall, and then, I had to mud the whole
thing. How do you learn to do this? Is this like YouTube?
This is like a 5-minute YouTube clip.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's simple shit. Like, people have been building.
It sounds hard, man.
I feel like I don't have a skill that's not on the computer. I don't. I feel like I don't. I can draw, but that's not useful.
Does PlayStation 4 count as a computer skill? Okay, then I have lots of skills that aren't on the computer because I'm really good at PlayStation.
No, that doesn't count.
Oh, I thought.
As anything sort of skill that
involves
anything.
That's a skill, dude. People make millions of dollars playing games.
Do you make millions of dollars?
No, but people do.
Shut it.
Is money the definition of a skill? Bitch, you gonna make millions of dollars building your table? How much does someone pay you to fill
Maybe
in the
Maybe a more respectable skill then.
You're just an old man when it comes to video games.
I am. I don't like them. The doggarn kids.
Doggarn?
God darn kids. Technology.
Yeah, man.
Visual worlds and shit.
What is the first thing you're gonna do then? Like, is there a plan to this, or you just kind of like, it's a hobby and I'm just going to do it whenever I can? Because you like talk about like getting a house or a duplex or something. Like,
I mean, that's what I need to do probably because I don't want to live in an apartment.
Okay.
I don't like them.
What's wrong with this tiny room? What do you mean? We're doing a studio. Are you doing a show for my child's bedroom? You think that's uncomfortable?
No. A show is fine. If I was to work with wood in here and try and build a coffee table in here, it'd be a little bit harder. All that sawdust would really make your carpet really nice and soft.
Dude, you know what I did yesterday? Speaking of wood and sawdust.
Yeah, what's that?
Manliness.
Did you put a big old pile of it over here by your apartment? Because there's a big old pile of sawdust right there.
They cut down that tree and then ground the stump down and then just left.
Yep.
They took the tree, but they left all the stump.
Wind will get the
No! It's been 2 weeks.
And it's huge.
And it's been raining. Uh-huh. You know how many
That's like
evil,
cement now.
Evil animals are living in that mulch now?
That's crazy.
Dude, I'm not going near that. But yesterday I drilled a hole in my entertainment center and raised a shelf. Look at you, man. There was sawdust and everything.
Nice.
Yeah. I also put sheetrock anchors on my shelf above the sink to to hold it in place.
Wow.
I know, dude.
That's awesome.
I'm a fucking man.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
See? That kind of shit. I want that feeling more
only
by actually
manly.
Building something that I could use. And I could use a good coffee table because right now I have a $30 cheap-ass piece of shit Walmart thing.
See, I wonder if you don't get... See, I honestly, legitimately get the feeling of accomplishments and creation when I build a website.
Yeah.
So you must not experience that when you like build a logo or something. Do you not feel that sense of accomplishment?
No.
Like, I
logos,
literally look at
logos
things
are
like,
too quick.
Oh, I built this.
I'm a very... I either like it or I don't when it comes to design. That's just where I've got to now.
Maybe
so,
you're
like,
too good at it.
I make something, and then if I don't like it, then I know I don't like it, and I'm not going to
I think you
it.
Might be too
I'm not
good.
Happy.
Because I feel like back in the day when you were making all those duo words, you know, when Cameron made it up, and you were like making it flames and like explode, like
and
you felt cool about
with Photoshop,
figuring that out.
I don't feel cool anymore.
Yeah, because I feel like you figured it all out, so you're done now.
Yeah.
Yep. Because, like, I still build, like, web changes so much.
Right.
That, like, even if I build a website, next month, if I rebuilt the website, it would have changed somehow. And I'd have to learn something new all the time. It's so annoying.
I mean, websites are definitely more because, well, logos, like I said, it's just too quick for me. I know how to make all the shapes that I want to get in. If I don't see it in my head, then I can't do it. But if I see it in my head, I know how to do it. And
right.
So I'm going to do it. And then that takes me, the application's easy to use. And for a one-color logo build out, it's like an hour.
Okay.
Website, however, I've been working on my new one for like about a week now. So like, and it's not even done. So that's definitely much more, you know, time put in for a better reward at the end of it.
Right.
But I feel, yes, definitely working with my hands more to create something would give me more of a fulfillment.
So
I feel like than just sitting on my ass at a computer.
So I don't know if you answered this. So do you have a plan? Like, what is next? Get a place, just start building, or is it literally just a hobby? You're just kind of doing it in your free time when
I'm
you have something
waiting
to do.
Right now. Yeah, I'm waiting to see where I'm going to be living.
Like, where did you patch the drywall hole?
At your parents'
house? Okay.
Yeah, it was in the garage. I kicked it. No, I think I threw a skateboard at the wall when I was younger.
Oh, so you just repaired it for
uh-huh.
Nice. Dude, you could have done a complete refurb of that basement after you moved out.
No, they paid for that one. Was not going
to
do that. I punched a hole in the ceiling, so I didn't really know how to fix a ceiling.
It's probably the same concept, just the whole...
No, because when I punched through that ceiling, it moved like cardboard.
Dude, I would love... I mean, honestly, I've always thought about doing like leather working, because that seems more... I like the more artsy fartsy types of things.
What would you
things.
Do with that? What do you mean? Like smaller stuff? Like
yeah,
a wallet,
you know, like belts and wallets and like saddles would be, I think, like the ultimate goal and stuff, like jackets and stuff. Mm. Just really cool leather. Like, I just love leather.
Yeah.
I love a dead animal skin. I don't know. I mean, I've never really like actually tried to pursue it, but I'm interested in it. But like my
dad. I'm
pretty
sure it's simple.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it's like woodworking. I think it depends on the project.
Right.
Like, you
can make a wallet, like a phone slide-in holder with, like, a hole punch and thread.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But it's just like you can build, like, a table that has four legs at the top, or you can build, like, a table that has drawers and has eight long leaves and
yep, I'm going to need to invest in, like, SketchUp or something like that because it's no longer free.
What?
Yeah.
Google bastards.
Yep, but I need to get some...
Virtual, my dad built a trailer out of metal.
Yeah, that's
like
insane.
He just goes and gets metal and builds things out of it.
He,
like, remember the mower
video
we
did?
Yeah, he doesn't have his garage. Yeah. Well, his shop. He doesn't have a garage.
Awesome.
He's got a shop.
It's a good skill to have too. I mean, plus, nowadays every single motherfucker my age is doing shit on a computer.
Yeah,
that's their jobs. Is going to be computer shit.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, of course, robots can make a $30. Coffee table in China for you, but I mean, there's always going to be the people that are going to be like, I want this handmade in the U.S. by this local guy.
I totally agree.
So it's quality over.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there like blue collar jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like manufacturing.
All those are really in demand.
They're really in demand because
welding, trades, and shit like
trades.
That.
That's trade
schools, trade
jobs. Yeah, those are the ones that just no
one's
doing anymore.
I've been thinking about that. My mom's tried to talk me into. Learning to weld.
I feel like you'd hate it. You'd have to be outside and stuff.
I wouldn't mind it.
I feel like you would.
I mind it.
I feel like you want it because it's different, but then you'd hate
it. I mind it if I go in and out. Like, if I have the experience of air conditioning and then am forced to go back out into the heat, I fucking hate it. But, like, I worked at the paintball field And the only reason I quit there was because I didn't like getting shot by paintballs. But being outside all the time, you know, I got a good tan, I sweat. Like, I mean, the heat became normal.
Okay.
Like, I was outside in 95-degree weather doing that drywall shit in the garage. And, yeah, and that, ever since then, 81's felt like a 62. Yeah.
Well, that's what I feel like when I ride my bike all the time. Like, I mean, it gets hot,
the longer
but I'm
outside,
used to it.
Right, yeah. The more you adjust to it.
Yep. But. I don't know, man. It's still a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to get older and want to work less, you know that, right?
No.
Like, you're supposed to, like, get, like, 40 and be like, I'm going
to
start
whining.
You're
supposed to grind. Down. Grind your entire life until you hit 65. Then you can coast.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. That's how you get rich. If you want to coast through life, though, take it easy. Just enough.
No.
Why you got to be, like...
That's lazy.
Why you got to have, like, a legacy? Like, why can't you just die in obscurity like me? Like, that's the way humanity should be.
Yeah.
Like, do we really need more people that are cool? We need a good plague. That's what we need.
Fuck those cool people.
Yeah, man.
Who's cool? What even is cool?
Well, when you get good, I'm going to make you build me a desk, and I'm not going to pay you for it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you to do it.
I've been just watching a whole bunch of people build stuff on YouTube, and then I found this one. And then I got into, like, the ultimate desk setups.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many videos of rich motherfuckers. Yeah. There's just a dude that his job is to build you a sick desk with, like, the computer, the speakers, everything and everything like that.
Well, it's like, I mean, that's really no different than just a graphic designer.
Right. Interior
designer. Anything like that that's just one guy who does one thing really well. It's just, how do you get discovered for that? I've never figured that out.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how to describe this desk to audio listeners. Imagine a V, okay? All
right.
And then one side of the V is horizontal with the ground, and then the other leg is going down. It hits the ground,
okay,
and then it flattens out on the bottom.
Okay.
That's a desk. And it looks like it's just a piece of wood floating in the air.
How?
Metal, heavy-ass desk, and like it like being... Like, it has so much of a base that the distribution of weight is even, and it looked... Oh, God. It looked like you were in the Starship Enterprise, man.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds awesome. It
looked fucking crazy.
What about this desk? I got a Target for like $40.
Looks super shit.
I mean, it does the job.
It's terrible.
It's better quality than that chair that I got at Target.
That is true.
That chair's horrible.
Yep. I don't know about chairs.
I think they're hard to make.
Yeah.
Like, I hear people saying, like, because
they're also more intricate.
Like, you don't want them to break.
Right.
Like, you don't want a desk to break either, but, like, you don't break your leg when you're.
Well, there's
desk
so.
Breaks.
Yeah, I think that's the harder part is because with the table. You know, you have more space to fill with your support.
Okay.
But like a chair, you got, what is this, 20 by 20 maybe?
Yeah, that, yeah.
And then you got to support that with four legs
right.
or however you can.
Or one big stem and then five plastic pieces of shit.
Yes.
Which is what this is.
Yeah, metal.
Yeah.
It doesn't bend at all.
Become a metal worker, man.
It doesn't bend at all, man.
You become a metal worker.
I mean, it's welding.
Yeah.
I don't know how you cut metal either.
No, oh, I don't know.
Plasma torch.
You could ask my dad. He'd know. He does all that. Remember, he built that lawnmower thing.
Yeah.
Got a patent on it.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't either, dude. I don't either.
I'd like to learn, though.
He builds landing gear, dude. Like,
trade.
That's at a
stuff,
place beyond
I feel
me.
Like
no, because he didn't
really...
even go to college until like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's just been doing
well,
it
he's
so
just,
long.
Yeah, he's probably. He knew it.
Yeah, he's just
he grew
been doing
up
it since
doing
he was
it.
Like 16.
I did not grow up doing it, so now I got to
start
learning.
Gotta
start
learning.
And
it's
I don't really
take you
have
3 years to be good.
Yeah, I don't have a mentor, but. Maybe one day.
Hey, man, YouTube can be your mentor.
That's,
just tell people, like, YT taught me this, and they'll be like, ooh, YT sounds awesome.
TC?
And then you let, Tom Cruise? Then you let everybody know that that just means, you know, your mentor.
TCT?
All right.
Tom Cruise Tube?
Do you want to talk about this Star Wars Han Solo movie thing? Do you know anything about this?
I don't. Tell me about it.
Okay, so do you know Christopher Miller and Phil Lord? Do you know them?
Mm-mm.
They did, like, the original Lego movie. And the 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street movies.
Okay.
And they were directing Han Solo.
Hmm.
And most people were very angry that they were even making a Han Solo movie in the first place. Remember
right.
that?
Yes.
But the only reason that they gave it some credit is because these two guys are like masters of dry wit, sarcasm, that type of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like 21, 22 Jump Street.
Are great.
Like Han Solo could be in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they're like, we're gonna give it a chance because these directors know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well... Turns out, what was it, like probably 3 or 4 days ago I think this came out, they left Han Solo, citing creative differences between them and Kathleen Kennedy, who runs Lucasfilm. So, shit. Unfortunately, our vision and process weren't aligned with our partners on this project, a statement from Lord and Miller read. We normally aren't fans of the phrase creative differences, but for once, this cliche is true. We're really proud of the amazing and world-class work of our cast and crew. And Kathleen Kennedy said, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew, but it's become clear that we had a different and creative vision for the film, and we've decided to part ways. A new director will be announced soon. So, obviously, at this point, they came to something that they couldn't compromise on, and so they split ways.
Right.
The complicated part of this is that there are only a few weeks left on the shoot. Like, 3 weeks, and the movie was done. They were going to have reshoots this summer, but then there was, like, 3 weeks left for principal photography.
Wow.
The movie's basically done. So there's one key scene, I'm guessing, that they were going to shoot over those 3 weeks that they could not agree on how it should go down. I would assume it's probably they wanted to treat it more flippantly than Lucasfilm did, because Star Wars is a serious fucking business.
You know? I was going to say, they definitely want it to still be a Star Wars film. They don't want Star Wars 21 Jump Street.
Well, here's what's happening. Ron Howard has now come in to be the new director on Star Wars, Han Solo movie. So, basically... let's see. Is there any quotes in here? At Lucasfilm, we believe the highest goal of each film was to delight, carrying forward the spirit of the saga that George Lucas began 40 years ago, Kathleen Kennedy says. With that in mind, we are thrilled to announce that Ron Howard will step in to direct the untitled Han Solo film. We have a wonderful script, an incredible cast and crew, and the absolute commitment to make a great movie. Hmm. And it comes out May 25th of 2018, so it's less than a year away. Han Solo, directed by Ron Howard, who did Apollo 13, A Beautiful Mind, all the Da Vinci Code movies. He's a good director.
Yeah.
I mean...
Isn't he in the one at Arrested Development?
Yeah, he's a narrator of Arrested Development. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are making jokes like Han Solo like says, I got this, and there he's like, he didn't. Like Arrested Development style. Which I would love.
That would be amazing.
But there's no way that's going to happen because that's the type of stuff they would do with Christopher Miller.
Ones, yeah.
I think most people are like with level heads and aren't making jokes or speculating that... Ron Howard is a competent director.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. Like, he's made some really great movies, and he's made some really good duds.
Yeah.
Like that one movie with Ryan Hemsworth, or Brian, what Chris Hemsworth, where he's the guy who hunts whales.
Oh, yeah, like, into the heart of the sea or something like
no
that.
No one saw that movie. Mm-mm. But Beautiful Mind, great movie, you know? Cinderella Story, not so good.
Why?
I actually like Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, Da Vinci Code was good. I think I watched Angels and Demons, too, and
okay.
That one was...
It's okay.
It was a little
I would
bit
put it on the same
there.
Level as the first Transformers. Yeah. Like, it's just, meh.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for an action movie. But most people are saying that they brought him in just to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also going to helm the editing process. Because most people, like, the movie really comes together depending on the editing.
Yeah.
So he's going to also take whatever's already been shot and finesse it into Lucasfilm's... So, I guess the reason I brought this up is I wanted to get your opinion on do you care if they made a kind of, I don't want to say like 22 Jump Street style, because that's a straight comedy, but those kind of jokes, you know, a funnier Star Wars, you know, is that like Ant-Man I think would be a good example. Like, it's serious, but it's mostly funny. Like, there's lots of comic relief. Do you think that's a bad idea for Star Wars? Because I'm a casual fan. You're an actual fan.
I would say it could go either way. It could go either people would hate it because it messes with their mindset of who Han Solo, the person they grew up with, is.
I guess who is Han Solo then? Like, because in the first movie, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, are they going to make a whole movie where he's a dick?
Yeah. I would assume.
I mean, do you want to
because
watch
he doesn't
Han Solo
have,
be a dick for 2 hours?
Yeah, because he doesn't have his character, you know, changed of heart until...
Right, I agree with you. So I guess the point is that, like, I feel most people's vision of Han Solo is him in... He's Return of the Jedi Han Solo. He's Force Awakens Han Solo. This gentle, older man who is a mentor and a love interest and sacrifices himself to save his friends. When pre A New Hope, he's a bounty hunter smuggler who cares only about himself.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good movie comparison that I would want to see just, like, redone in Star Wars. Because I like, there's got to be a good like.
Dude, I think Ant-Man's probably the best runner. Comparison because he's like a smuggler. He's a thief.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the whole plot where he's got to steal back something, you know, that maybe not there, but like the whole tone of like, that's what I kind of get. Like he has serious business, like he's doing it to protect his kid, but the whole movie's kind of hilarious.
I'm just trying to think of what the plot's gonna be like. What. Like, obviously, Han Solo is not going to save the universe in this film.
Yeah, they haven't even named the movie
yet. What is he gonna do? Is it gonna be like Ocean's 11 kind of movie? Or maybe
Fast and Furious in space?
Isn't it gonna be a political thriller.
It isn't gonna be a political thriller.
No.
It's probably not going to be a comedy anymore.
I feel like it's gonna be like an Italian Job kind of movie.
You think it's gonna be like a heist movie?
Yeah, like that or like... Like the first episode of Firefly, where they're like smuggling shit.
Yeah, Firefly
and they have to
might
run
be good, but that's
from...
again, that's a series that Christopher Miller and Phil Lord would direct,
right?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Because
well,
it seemed
Lando's
like,
in it.
Yeah, it seemed like obviously Han had some history with Jabba.
That would make sense. It's because it's in the movie.
That family line is like the Godfather.
I know the hats. Yeah.
So they're gonna make a fucking Star Wars Godfather, man. That's what I want.
But
give
you
that.
Think Han Solo would fit in the Godfather, man?
A little bit updated, like more like a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of
vibe. They ain't gonna do it. I think that if you wanted a Guardians of the Galaxy, you would keep those two directors. That's their style of humor.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, maybe they got that already and they couldn't decide on one thing, like you said, so they brought in some guy that would just go with whatever
doesn't that scare you that they don't let the talent do what they think
that's,
is right.
That has been going on so often.
But not
Suicide
for,
Squad,
not
Batman
vs.
Superman.
All these
all
movies you're naming
are
terrible.
Exactly. Why do you think they're terrible? Well, it's because they hired a dude to do something.
I'm a dude dressed like a dude playing another dude.
I watched
dude.
That the other night. Such a fucking good movie.
I will fuck you up. I will massacre you.
All right, Flaming Dragon. Fuckface. Want you to take a big step back and literally...
Fuck your own face! I don't know what kind of Pan-Atlantic bullshit.
Pan-Pacific bullshit power play you're trying to pull here, but Asia Jack is my territory. So you're gonna have to call the fucking United Nations and get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying you.
I will massacre you.
That's a TC quote. That's
yes,
TC.
It is.
That's TC
yes,
right there. If you guys have not seen Tropic Thunder,
you know what ruined
it,
though?
What?
He did a, I think it was an MTV Movie Awards skit. As that character.
Oh, really?
Les Grossman talking to Robert Pattinson.
Oh, God.
It's awful.
Corporate, dude. They
awful.
Ruin everything.
It was not funny at all.
Were they even made by the same company?
I don't know.
Like, how do you get Tom Cruise to talk to Robert Pattinson? Are we sure it was Tom Cruise?
It was Tom Cruise as Les Grossman,
God.
Man.
I'm not going to watch that.
He re-put
that.
On all the makeup. It looked worse. Because obviously it was cheaper. It was
right.
a cheaper production for
right.
fucking MTV.
You sure it wasn't like Jimmy Fallon pretending to be
it's
Tom Cruise?
It's literally Tom
God,
Cruise.
That's just disappointing.
It's bad.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Han Solo movie.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I really don't care. I thought it was good. Literally, the only reason I cared about the Han Solo movie, because I don't really care about Han Solo. Like, who cares? Like, show me Boba Fett. That's what I care about. Is because these two directors who I love, like they make this show on Fox called The Last Man on Earth. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's hilarious. Okay. Everything they touch, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I even like the stupid Lego movie, even though at the end it was Will Ferrell and it made no sense. Spoiler. But like, I love everything they do. So I was like, I'll watch Han Solo with them because I'd watch them make a movie about painters. You know, it don't matter. But now it's just another Ron Howard movie.
Yep.
It's going to be on Space Whales, dude.
So what's this Directors Guild thing?
So... Han Solo film firing may force Directors Guild to make tough choices. I did not know this, so I just thought this was interesting. Could the new Han Solo movie become the biggest film ever to be directed by Alan Smithee? Smithee is the pseudonym the Directors Guild of America uses for a helming credit when a movie's director takes his name off of a movie. That hasn't happened yet in the case of the Star Wars spinoff, but as Phil Lord and Christopher Miller depart the project, their termination by Disney's Lucasfilm due to creative differences leave the producers and the DGA with some difficult choices. The key issues. Who will replace them? We know it's Ron Howard. Who will receive directing credit, and who will residuals be appointed to, and will Lord and Miller even be welcome at the premiere?
Wow.
At the heart of the matter is the Guild's protection of directors' rights. The DGA has a strict rule which prohibits replacing the director with someone else from the film's team except for a brief emergency. is designed to discourage producers from forcing out a Helmer and taking over a picture, and it means that despite speculation that veteran writer-director Lawrence Kasdan, an executive producer of the film, who has written the new screenplay with his son John Kasdan, could step in to direct it, such a move would violate the DGA rule. But once a new Helmer comes aboard, Ron Howard, who will get the finished film's directing credit? That's tough. Presumably, Lucasfilm would prefer that the new director receive the credit and will argue that his or her vision is the one that predominates the ultimate film, which may be true due to editing.
Yeah.
But Lord and Miller signed on 2 years ago and have been shooting since February with only a few weeks of principal photography left. That gives them a strong claim to credit. But complicating the matter is a vital role that post-production plays in a bit of effects-laden film, and that will all be overseen by the new director. The DGA doesn't much like multiple directors to begin with. There will only be one director assigned to direct a motion picture at any given time, says the Guild's one director rule, but waivers are possible and increasingly common, especially in the case of established directing teams, like Phil, like they're our directing team.
Brothers, yeah.
Right, and yeah, and the Coen brothers and all them. Still, it would be a stretch for the DGA to approve three directors' names on a film. And there's a further twist. While the Writers Guild of America has elaborate rules or even an appeals procedure for credit disputes, the DGA doesn't. Instead, the rule is simply this. The DGA decides, and everyone is bound by that decision. The process, particularly in this case for such a high-profile film, is likely to drag a range of ranking guild official into the mix. The possibility of according a credit to three directors, Lord Miller and their successor, Ron Howard, is likely to seem both logical and unpalatable. The DGA did not immediately respond to inquiries, and it's not known whether officials are investigating the situation yet. And what about residuals? If Lord and Miller should decide to pull their names from the picture, their names would be replaced with a pseudonym, most commonly Alan Smithy, and they might have to forfeit residuals. But assuming that they don't pull their names, both are just off the picture, the rules don't seem to say what happens to residuals in this case. Possibly, that makes it a matter of negotiation between the departed director's agents and lawyers in Lucasfilm and the new director's representatives. Profit participation back end is another complication. Although not a guild matter, it may already be addressed in the pair's directing deal, but in Hollywood, a written agreement is often just a good start for negotiations. Last but not least, did Laurie Miller have the right to insist on tickets to the film's premiere? That won't happen for a while. As of now, the film's scheduled release date remains unchanged, May 25th in 2018, but it certainly could be awkward.
It's not what I thought it was going to be.
What do you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be like the Directors Guild now has to take measures to stop studios from messing with directors' visions.
They don't care about that.
No.
Well, it sounds like...
It's money. Whoever has the money, that's what they get.
They basically each directed
half
of the movie.
Yeah. Like, the editing is definitely a big portion of it, if not bigger than principal photography. But then again, you wouldn't have anything to edit without principal photography.
Right. Like, they're going to add in all the spaceships and all the space, and they're going to make the pace of the movie, and they can edit in and out dialogue.
But yeah, without the dialogue itself.
Right, and without Han Solo being in the camera, like...
You don't really have
much
to edit.
A Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. I didn't really know that it was that complicated.
Yeah. And I didn't know that Alan Smithy was an uncredited director.
I want to know movies directed by Alan Smithy now.
I know.
Let's look them up. They're going to be movies we never heard of.
You think?
Yep.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, Alan Smithy.
Yep. I don't think David Ayer's too proud of that one. I'm pretty sure Zach loves Batman versus Superman. Regardless.
Does he?
I'm sure.
Dude, I saw the Justice League trailer, by the way, because I went and watched Guardians again, which is the funniest movie of all time. And they showed the Justice League trailer. It's the first time I've ever seen it because I'm avoiding it like AIDS.
Yeah.
And it didn't look that bad. But is Superman not in this movie?
He's in it.
He's not in the trailer?
He's in the poster, I think, which just completely ruined it. Because at the end of Batman versus Superman, he dies. Superman.
Right, I knew that. I knew that.
The very last scene is his coffin with like a couple of dirt flecks on top of it, and the dirt flecks start to float, which means that
he's not dead.
He's not dead.
So he dies and resurrects in the same movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So we haven't seen him since, but and he was technically not alive in Suicide Squad, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So the
he
time
was still
frame
dead.
Yeah, the time frame of him dying and then coming back might be longer than just literally the end of the movie to the end of the movie. Like, literal 10-minute gap, maybe, and then he's back. But
okay.
Yeah, right. I think they're idiots. They're like, oh, we gave it away that he's coming back, so but we're still gonna do all the marketing like he's dead.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's not in the trailer.
Right.
That's. I was very surprised by that. But you know, Batman doesn't look that bad. And like, he actually made a joke I laughed at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Have you seen the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Like when they get in, like he's like, "What's your superpower?" And Batman goes, "I'm rich." Like, that's kind of funny. Yep. I kinda like that.
Yeah, I think fans
like
that.
Joss Whedon's taking it back over. This is literally the opposite situation from Han Solo, where they took a funny movie and they're making it not funny, and now they're taking a not funny movie and they're making it funny.
It's possible. It depends on how much, you know, creative room Joss has. I'm going to see it because
isn't that weird,
reason,
though, how that works, though? Because, like, it's the same concept. They both just had weeks left.
Right.
And now we think Justice League won't actually change that much because of Joss. But Han Solo's ruined.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Like, you can't have it both ways.
That's a good point.
Well, did you know
depends
that?
Depends on the directors and the freedoms, because I mean, like, Lucasfilm.
It depends a lot on the freedoms. Lucasfilm apparently is
Warner,
not going,
yeah, Warner is very, well, from what you read on the show that one time, they seemed very, like, we want it to still look the same as the other ones.
Yeah, they have
the
a universe.
Tone.
Yeah, they have a universe. So, that we want Zack Snyder's universe to live.
It's
yeah.
stupid. This is very bad.
It's just, I don't know why Kathleen Kennedy got to come with the purchase of, like, Disney could be like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
You know, like, if she messes this up, I think, because Disney is well known for not meddling with creators. Like, they just let you do, and then, because if you get blackballed by Disney, that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, creators know that. Like, they're like, I'm not gonna mess this up, because it's Disney. And they make 600 movies a year. Even if I'm directing TV, I'm making Disney money.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't mess around with that. Mm-hmm. So, I bet if she messes this up, it's over.
It's definitely a big enough, well, I mean, what's the issue? Don't give me that creative differences bullshit.
Right.
Obviously, you don't want to ruin the movie,
like,
but I want
to
know.
It has to be huge for a directing duo who's made smash movies.
To, with 3 weeks left.
To
leave. After building the cast.
Especially since their statement is basically like, we don't do this.
Yeah.
Like, we try to find resolutions, but we have to.
Right. That's, that's crazy.
It is, dude.
I don't know, because, like I said,
especially
I just don't know.
Especially thinking Entourage.
I just don't know the plot.
Get me off this movie, Ari. Can't deal with this lady.
Yep.
Get Ron Howard on the phone. He's just relying. Get Ron Howard. Ron Howard, you want to direct Star Wars, man?
There better be a Scud missile headed for Los Angeles, Aaron. God, I'm going to rewatch that show. I miss Ari.
It's so good.
So funny.
No, even the movie's good.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
It's good.
It just sucks that was all it was.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be a little bit more than just a longer episode of Entourage, but
I wanted it to be 8 hours. That's what I wanted. But yeah, they can't do that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know what I would expect, you know, because he's gotten everything in the damn show. Like, I think once you get a movie with James Cameron or Martin Scorsese, then yeah, you've made it.
Yeah, I agree.
You're an actor.
Dune was directed by Smithy. Rudy was directed by Smithy. It looks like a lot. It says Rudy as edited for television, Alan Smithy. So it feels but as edited for television.
That's
so it looks
so
like
weird.
In most cases.
So they wouldn't even consider the TV edits of the movie to be the same movie?
I guess not.
Because if I was Martin Scorsese and I made The Departed, and you're going to show that on TV and block out all my cuss
words
and blood.
Someone comes in and re-edits it to fit on TV.
Then I'm
going to
be like,
movie.
Fuck you. Yeah, that's not my movie.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe.
Or maybe you have the choice. Martin Scorsese could re-edit it himself.
Right. Maybe.
No, man. That's weird.
That is.
That's very weird. There's a lot of things about movies we don't know anything about.
That's true.
Because if it didn't happen in Entourage, we don't know it exists.
That's very accurate.
All right. We're at an hour and a half.
Wasn't there I heard like a rumor that they were gonna make like a spinoff of Entourage with all female cast.
Dude, is that true?
I thought
Entourage.
I heard something about that.
I thought that was Sex and the City. Because isn't Entourage a spinoff of Sex and the City with an all male cast? Like, wasn't that the? It's not a spinoff, but it's.
Oh shoot! Live read.
It's happening.
No. No way. This is a Facebook group. Yeah, that looks photoshopped as hell. July 9th? Where's that?
Yeah, they're reading an actual episode of Entourage, but they're doing it as all female. So this is a fan recreation.
Stupid!
Oh, scary. Okay.
I heard something about it. Maybe not all, maybe not Entourage, but Entourage-like. But
no, I thought that was Sex and the City, man.
You said we're at an hour and 30, what?
I was just going to transition and say we're at an hour and 30 minutes. We still got like some stuff to talk about. I don't know. You want to talk about Daniel Day-Lewis quitting acting? Do we care?
Why?
Why to which?
Why
which
is he quitting?
I don't know.
Denzel.
Leslie Dart, his spokeswoman, confirmed that Daniel Day-Lewis will no longer be working as an actor. He's immensely grateful to all his collaborators and audiences over the many years. It's a private decision, and neither he nor his representatives will make any further comment. He's the only performer to ever win three Best Oscar Actors. Three Best Actor Oscars.
Wow.
For Lincoln, There Will Be Blood, and for his performance as a writer and artist, Chris Brown, on My Left Foot.
Oh, really?
But he got nominations for Gangs of New York and In the Name of Our Father. How is he not in there for Last of the Mohicans? I don't know, man.
Yeah, he's also starred in musicals.
I mean, he's a crazy method actor.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably why he retired.
Right.
Like,
he just
at some point, you got to get tired of doing that, right?
You would think that you would want to be you.
Right.
Like you would, I'm a dude playing a dude playing a dude playing a dude who's played a dude, well, this dude disguised as another dude.
It says that he is awaiting a new release that reunites him with Paul Thomas Anderson, who directed Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm.
He said he intends to help promote the movie, but it sounds like that movie wrapped, and now he's ready to just not do movies anymore. Have you seen There Will Be Blood?
I've seen the iconic drink your milkshake scene, but that's about it. That's
it's a
like
good movie.
That's the best scene.
It's a good movie.
One of it's like one
it's
of
a, you gotta like best you scenes. Gotta like section off like 5 hours of your life to
oh,
watch that movie.
God,
because it is slow. It's like it's filmed in real time,
yeah.
But it's very good. Hmm. It's just it's very mundane.
And it's all just about oil, right?
It's about this guy who basically becomes an oil baron by. Hmm. Taking everyone's milkshakes,
I gotcha.
So to speak. That's a
yeah,
metaphor,
no, I've never
but.
Seen it. I should, though.
Yeah, it's sure. good. I mean, you could just watch it. It's there, but...
Should.
So, I mean...
Well, I heard Lincoln was the same way, just incredibly slow.
Yeah. I don't know. But apparently that's
why?
Good. I don't know, man.
Why is that...
Oh, I wanted to do this as a game on the show. We'll get back to that in a little bit. You want to talk about CIA has apparently been putting network spying software into firmware on routers since 2007? Last 10 years, they've been monitoring basically every thing of traffic that's going through, you know, Netgear, D-Link, Linksys, and Belkin. And just know everything we do. So, I mean, we could talk about that, but...
Well, they're obviously not doing shit with it, other than
well,
finding
to us,
terrorists.
We don't do anything, yeah, but...
Which I mean is kind
of. I mean,
of
do
the
you care that they look
it.
At every single thing that you.
Just as long as they're not going to come at me for looking at porn, then yeah, I'm fine.
Child porn?
No.
Then you're probably okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they would care, actually. I don't think the CIA cares about child porn.
I think they do.
If you know, I don't think the CIA does. The FBI might.
Ashton Kutcher does.
I don't think Ashton Kutcher's looking at your internet traffic.
He is. Did you not see his speech that went viral?
No.
He made a speech to Congress about how.
To Congress?
The U.S. government should be taking...
Kelso?
Yes.
Okay.
Taking child abuse more seriously. He runs a company that goes into the deep web and looks for and finds ways to track child pornography distributors, creators. He, like, saved a child from sex working and she
Kelso.
Was, like, five. Yeah, that's his life. That's what he does now.
He's on the ranch on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. He also owns this company that helps... sexual abuse child victims.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was he cried in Congress talking about it.
Well, good for
it was
him,
pretty
I
brutal.
I mean,
but yeah, he's the one that's doing shit. So maybe you're right. Maybe they don't give a shit because he's
doing
to go to Congress
they
being like
privatized
this is kind of a big
child
deal.
Molesters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they privatized that.
They're
yeah.
doing that with everything.
But,
that's what Trump wants to do with everything. Healthcare, space travel, war. That's already happened.
Well, I don't know, man. I just assume the CIA sees everything I do already.
Oh, so yeah, that or the NSA, I mean...
Yeah, so I guess I really just don't care.
Yeah, it's just...
I just assume everything I do is public.
If you're gonna do something on the internet, the government's gonna know about it.
Right. Well, and
or
like...
they could know about
like
it.
Like Nick George uses, like, VPNs. Mm-hmm. I know this because when he bought stuff off CampStake, he got flagged as fraudulent because he uses a network used
by
proxies.
Out of, like, Croatia or some
right.
shit.
So yeah. I had to approve it manually.
Right.
But, like, if it's going through your router, it don't matter. Like, all network traffic is monitored by your router because it has to
yeah,
route.
I think you're right.
Like, it's anonymized.
Right.
But
they can also track the outputs of all of
because
those
because it's different than your
too.
Modem. Like, and your modem's what the ISP sees.
And, like, if you're really trying to do something on the internet, like, if you're downloading a movie or something, you don't need a fucking VPN.
Right.
They're not going to be looking for a movie. They're going to be looking for people who do have VPNs and trying to find the back routes through that, because that's probably the people that are doing shit that they shouldn't be.
Like, if you go to the Pirate Bay, like, all the ads are about getting VPNs.
Yeah.
And that's just because VPN people want to make money.
Right, because it's a subscription. You've got to pay month to month to keep your VPNs up.
Yes. You can't just download a VPN.
Right.
Yeah,
you just don't get one forever.
Yeah. That's not how it works.
So, yeah.
I love, like, the
dumb.
CIA, like, everybody's like, they're in our cameras, and, you know, you should download this privacy
they're
protection
in our microwaves,
software.
Man.
And they're in our hardware.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they installed stuff. They're probably in the OS.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, that's the thing with, like,
yeah,
everyone's
I'm saying,
like,
yeah, Apple's encrypted my fucking
right, well,
ass.
That's what I mean. It's exactly that. It's like, you can't see, like, no one can intercept your messages because they're encrypted end to end. Well, if the CIA's on my device that de-encrypts that stuff, they can read everything on my phone. And I assume that they are.
Yeah. There's a way. They figured it out when they had that terrorist guy, when Apple wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
They found a way.
Yeah,
if they didn't have one already.
They probably plugged it in and it just unlocks.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the smartest people in the world working for them.
People who write code that wrote the code for those encryption codes.
They're literally the assholes who break everything they hire to break other things. And they give them ungodly amounts of
money. There's people out there, like, I mean, just with memory, like, you know, like, DNA is going to be the way that we house data from now on. Like, a little tiny thing of DNA is like 10 teraflops of memory or some
shit. It's unbelievable,
dude.
It's
crazy. And then people are working on unbreakable encryption.
Yeah.
Where it just keeps changing.
But still, the thing that decrypts it can always be hacked. There's always the physical
hack.
They
don't think... They're trying to find one that's not a physical hack.
It's not possible.
That's true.
It's not possible because the government has their hand in all of it.
Man. You got to give it over to an AI, and then that's Skynet.
No, because the government... Exactly.
When you take away any power that humans have, then you've created some other deity.
Because no matter how nice someone is, there's always some engineer who only makes $300,000 a year working for Apple. The government will show up and be like, here's $6 million. Plug this in. And he'll do it.
Yep.
Because anyone would.
Yep.
Because the rest of the world is butt-fucking a man.
Plug this in or you're going to Guantanamo.
Yeah. Oh, you don't plug this in and get this $6 million? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We just made up 15 parking
tickets. And also,
you know?
Like, Obama killed that dude in Yemen.
Yeah.
So, like, we just don't get any due process anymore. It's possible that we could just... They could just kill us and go on with
life. Well, they write a warrant after the part and then back there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yep.
It don't matter. I mean,
blows my
the
mind.
The fact that we put this on our thing after Transformers, Cameron's Baby, Your Woodworking, and the Han Solo movie, and then this is... Oh, and Daniel Day-Lewis is like our sixth story. It's 2 hours into our damn show. Tells you how little we actually care.
Yep.
Like, we have opinions, but we know we can't change anything about it.
We can talk shit.
I hope the CIA shows up one day and gives me money to do something illegal, because I will do it. Do you hear me, CIA? This is not a joke. I will do it.
You need a dark guy. You're
dude, don't be racist.
You're the dark guy.
Don't be racist, man.
You're too dark, man.
Do you want to talk about McDonald's hitting all-time stock high stock prices because they're replacing cashiers with kiosks? I mean, we don't really need to talk about more than that, but apparently they're going to replace cashiers in 2,500 restaurants with the new kiosks.
I think that's all right. Like, I mean, I'm sorry to all the cashiers that work at McDonald's, but learn how to cook food, and then you could stay there, because they don't have food cooking robots yet, so that's your new job.
But they will, though.
They will, but I don't know. I mean, there will definitely be robotic-operated food making.
You're going to need robot repairmen.
But
that's it.
But, no, they're making robots that will... able to
okay,
fix
well, then
robots.
We're dead.
But, yeah.
It's over.
30% of the job force right now, man, in 10 years is going to be gone.
We should... 10%, that's it?
30%.
30%?
In
okay,
10 years.
That sounds about right.
Of all available jobs, just all the jobs ever, any genre, all of
them. But worldwide, 30%. Right?
Yes.
So that includes China.
Yes.
Who is probably 29% of that 30%. I mean, seriously.
That's a good point.
I mean, really, that's...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
No, I still think people are not, like, food is one of those things where it's like, you don't want the piece of metal robot that just touched.
Vending machines.
Yeah, but that's tiny shit. That's not fresh food.
This is McDonald's fresh food.
It's cooked there.
Why?
Yeah.
Because some guy does this.
They heat it up.
He pulls
on
out
a grill.
Yellow drawer. He takes out a patty with a tong. He puts it there. He counts to 30. He flips the patty. He puts it on a bun and he puts it down a slide. You're telling me a robot can't do that, man?
I'm telling you it can. I'm saying that people might not want it like a human cooking your food. But then again, maybe not, because you wouldn't want like the hair or like weird Matthew making your burger.
McDonald's people won't care. I think it any fast food place, they won't care. A place that you go to, it's going to be like your woodworking. Artisanal food is going to be made by humans.
Agreed. So I don't know what's gonna happen.
Dude,
there's definitely got to be a point where we hit like a basic income. That's what.
That's what Elon Musk is saying. It's got
to
happen. It's got to happen because everyone's gonna be unemployed.
It's like you could just live and live.
Except that's not gonna happen in our lifetime. It probably won't happen in our child's lifetime because we'll be lucky to have equal rights in our lifetime. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about basic income. Like people aren't still being murdered for being Muslim.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, racism is kind of a thing to fix.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't really know how you do that. Probably not by having an orange guy in the office.
That would be the number one thing I would say.
You know, 40% of the world.
Yeah. Or having a country that loves him. Have 40% of a country that loves him. Yeah. Probably would help a lot. Because, you know, you're like, Finland looks like a great fucking place to live.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Denmark is like top of the line.
All those places over there. Yeah. They have basic. One of those places have basic income right now.
I think one Denmark
and
one
they're doing
of them
just
is like the
fine.
Best, like, socialism.
California needs to leave the United States. They keep talking
just break
with it.
Off,
but
like
they
that
just,
fault line. Just
they
break
just
off,
go into the ocean. But then they'll sink because the United States will be like, well, there goes all the people who are talking about global warming, so let's roast the earth. Yeah, that's probably all live here.
Yeah, that's happening.
You want to talk about Monsanto and Bayer are maneuvering to take over the cannabis industry? This, by the way, I kind of glazed over this thing. This is the most biased article towards marijuana I've ever read in my life.
Like pro-marijuana? Or what?
Yeah, pro-marijuana, anti-Monsanto.
Okay, right.
It's like literally like, Monsanto has raped babies and now they want to come over.
Basically.
Like, that's what they're saying.
Everyone, that 40% of Trump's audience listen to Alex Jones say, Monsanto's putting chemicals in your food that turns
Alex
frogs
Jones
gay.
Hates Monsanto? I didnn't know that.
1,000%. He hates Chobani because he thought that they were putting a chemical in him that was turning you gay or something like that.
Who likes Monsanto?
He just got sued by Chobani. For
slander?
And yeah, he had to settle because he did slander them.
Well, yeah, it sounds like he did.
So.
Who likes Monsanto?
Farmers, probably.
Do farmers like Monsanto because they're so cheap or something?
I would think that and that they are more reliable than, I would say, standard non-GMO seeds.
Well, let's
like
read
that.
This stupid article. It's been rumored for years that Monsanto plans to take over the cannabis industry. Cannabis is marijuana, for those of you who don't know.
What?
With genetic engineering, just as they've taken over the corn and soy industries. Although they have always denied having any intentions to do so, at this point it is unlikely that anybody really believes them. Say that's like just some biased writing right there. In contrast, many of the cannabis sphere are prepared to resist any kind of GMO takeover of marijuana by Monsanto or any other cohorts. Evidence is mounting, though, which points strongly to the notion that Monsanto does indeed plan to take control of the cannabis plant, and it doesn't look good for medical users or anyone planning to getting into the industry. Former Nazi collaborator Bayer buys out Monsanto for $66 billion. Okay, Mercedes is a former Nazi collaborator. Yeah. Let's not throw the word Nazi around so much. And let's also not hang Nazi banners off of fucking
Winston Churchill's old house. We get that he's dead, but still, have some respect.
You may remember hearing back in September that Bayer, the largest pharmaceutical company in the world, made a deal to buy out Monsanto for $66 billion. Although Monsanto was voted the most evil company in the world in 2013 and its reputation has continued to fall ever since, Bayer still went ahead with a buyout. A merger between these two companies is unsurprising, as though they both have long histories of involvement with Nazism and chemical weapons like Agent Orange, which have devastated Vietnam since the war. In fact, Bayer became as a breakoff company of the infamous IG Farben, which produced the chemical weapons used on the Jews during the Nazi reign. Hmm. After the war, Farben was forced to break up into several companies, including BSFS, Horschist, and Bayer. All right, so they have a storied history. But you know what?
They have a storied history.
So does Volkswagen, you know.
That's why I don't own a Volkswagen.
Yeah, I mean... But all those people are dead.
You're Jewish, man!
But all those people are dead. all those people that did all that are dead now. Like, it's new leadership, right? Like, there's not some guy pushing a door in a CEO office.
There's no company guidelines that Maya may have survived since the goddamn Nazi people.
Probably not.
Yes, there are. Monsanto's evil.
Well, this is
pro marijuana.
This is Bayer we're talking about right now.
Fuck Bayer.
Okay. Soon after the Nuremberg trials, 24 Bayer?
It's B-E-H-R.
That's Bayer.
Yeah.
Like, that's Bayer with a southern accent.
Burr.
Got a Burr. 24 Farben executives were sent to prison for crimes against humanity. However, in a matter of just 7 years, each of them was released and began filling high positions in each. Maybe you might be right about this. High positions of each in the former Farben companies, and many of them began working for the Russian, British, and American governments through a joint intelligence venture called Operation Paperclip. You know, with a name like Operation Paperclip, no one's going to take that seriously.
No, I thought that was the one where they took... That was in a movie where they took Nazi scientists. It was in Captain America where they took the Nazi scientists and re-put them into...
Yeah, they did do that in Captain America. Yeah. The IG Farben cartel included BSFF, Bayer, Huish, and other German chemical and pharmaceutical companies. As documents show, IG Farben was intimately involved with the human experimental atrocities committed by Mengele at Auschwitz. A German watchdog organization, the GBG Network, maintains copious documents and tracks Bayer's pharmaceutical activities, I guess even today. So there you go. After all these years, Bayer is now richer and more powerful ever than their predecessor company, IG Farben, ever was. Yeah, you know, you probably should just shut down after the, you know, whole Hitler thing and just...
Just start over.
Yeah, not be a company. New company. Existed. Like, Volkswagen, like, should have just not been Volkswagen, right?
Yeah, you should have chosen a non-German name. They want to bypass the hydroponic retail stores. When we said we won't get in bed with them, they said we could just buy your whole company like we did with Gavita and do whatever we want.
This is what Monsanto is saying to people.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jim Hagedorn, CEO of Scotts Miracle-Gro, has even said that he plans to invest, like, $500 million taking over the pot business. It's the biggest living thing I've ever seen in lawn and garden. He also has invested in companies such as Leaf, which grows cannabis in electronically regulated indoor terrarium accessible via smartphone. Dude, that's pretty sweet.
Get that.
Yeah, you get arrested here. You need to move first.
I need to move.
Bayer and Monsanto trade industry secrets on producing GMO marijuana. Let's just get to the conclusion. It's possible that Bayer and Monsanto could create a monopoly on marijuana seeds in the same way that they have created a monopoly on corn and soy. Though through immense corporate power and the enforcement of international patent law, these corporations could place themselves in a position of total control over cannabis as a medicine and as well of recreational use by using the same model as they do with the food and crops they control. But all hope is not lost. There is still a chance to fight back against the Bayer Monsanto monopoly by boycotting genetically engineered products. Good luck. Miracle-Gro and other Scotts brand products. Good luck. Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Good luck. And companies that do business with any of these. Good luck. You could even store seeds if you live in an area where it's legal to grow your own while supporting hydroponics and nutrient companies that don't do business with these corporate behemoths. So... basically, they're going to come up with a new way.
They're
going to
corporatize marijuana.
Yeah. Which, silver lining, it will be made legal with this type of corporate backing, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's what the potheads have wanted.
I mean.
They didn't want like this, but.
To me, this is something like the CIA. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I mean, no. When I say potheads, I don't mean it with disrespect, but there's nothing these potheads can do to stop Monsanto.
No.
There's nothing you can do.
No.
They will do what they want.
No.
Period.
There will be two types of people. There will be the people that, you know...
Well, they'll be the weirdos
the
who grow corn in their greenhouse because Monsanto owns the seeds. It'll just now also
be
weed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a matter of...
But you could also go to Dillon's and just buy weed.
1,000%. Some of the companies that are already making marijuana seeds, I'm sure, have genetic...
Of course.
GMOs, whatever.
Well, you got to look at it... at it from Monsanto's perspective. Like, they own corn. They own soy. I'm sure they own, like, rice and all that. That's every crop in the world.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a new crop?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to be Christmas.
Right. Biggest thing he's ever seen in lawn and garden, yeah.
Yeah, it's new.
Right.
No one could touch it.
That's why people are saying, like, it would just blow the economy up.
Right. And that's what Monsanto's going to do. I mean, they want their money, and they're going to go to Trump, and they're going to be like, hey, Trump, here's $6 trillion to do whatever we say. And be like, good. And, you know, their marijuana becomes legal. And, I mean, all it takes is money. I mean, honestly, this is the way it will be legalized, is this way.
Because
they don't care about your opinion. They care about money.
If it's marijuana... it's marijuana.
Yeah.
It's either no marijuana or marijuana.
Yeah, but it's bad marijuana.
It's not bad marijuana. They fucking think it is.
It's
because
Nazi marijuana,
Alex
man.
Jones motherfuckers go around saying, like, these GMOs are making my kids retarded.
Did you ever meet Malia? You remember her? Like, she's a food scientist. Uh-huh. Like, she actually graduated food science, and she's like you are saying right now, only she says it with science to back it up. She's like, these GMOs and these chemicals, they do nothing harmful. Yeah. And she's like, all these hippies that are talking about, oh, they put these chemicals in our food to mess with our brain. She's like, no, it does not happen.
Right.
She's like, there's more harmful chemicals in your bed sheets than there are in your food. Like,
yeah, sugar, caffeine. Yeah. Those are two big ones right there that we're just okay with, you know?
People, I think, just hate...
Those aren't bad.
I think they hate the capitalism.
They hate that. They hate anything that sounds new or scary. And, it's just a matter of manipulating
it. And they hate that people make money off the backs of smaller people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's farmers out there
that have
to buy Monsantos. Yeah, they have to,
it,
but Monsanto's
I really don't think... I mean, honest to God, I don't believe in the fucking Alex Jones shit with that. I feel like GMOs are GMOs. It's called technology.
That's what
we've moved, and we're here now. So yes, there are some genetically modified things in it that probably prevent you from getting diseases from that food.
I tend to agree with you for this reason alone. The fact they have to throw a whole paragraph in there about Nazis to make you hate them more means that what they're doing probably isn't necessary. Like, you could probably be like, all right, I'm not 100% okay with that, but... It's like you said, you get legal weed or you don't have,
like,
legal weed.
Jesus didn't just completely, like, shut out the Pharisees and shit, you know, that. He wanted to redirect their point of view into a better direction.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying that these people that did the Nazi shit are good by any means.
Well, right, but it's also been almost 100 years since that.
I did start off this conversation saying that Monsanto's evil, though. I think that was my point of view.
You did
now,
do
by
100%
the end of it,
pivot in this. I'm just trying to keep up.
Just switch.
I just thought
I was sarcastic
weed,
at the beginning.
I knew that.
Sarcastic.
I was watching your face. Totally sarcastic. Uh-huh. Yeah. It got video proof. But yeah, I mean, this is the way weed becomes legal.
Weed becomes legal.
That's what happens. With a German accent. Yeah. You want to talk about Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom at all? You care? I just want to know if you care.
This is a new one?
Yeah, this is the next one with Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Shoot me.
Don't care?
You want to hear a 5-minute theory about about Jurassic World?
Yeah. I don't really remember Jurassic World that much, but
they think it followed Westworld in a timeline. Shared universe, same world.
Okay.
And that the whole park is like Westworld. It's a virtual place, not...
But the dinosaurs are real, though.
But then, no, they're not. They are robots that look real and feel real.
But they eat people. I guess the robots and
What is more crazy than going to a park full of dinosaurs that you know are fake?
Yeah.
You know are fake.
That's true.
But still cool.
You would take it
What's
less seriously,
better
the safety
if it's
and stuff,
more
yeah.
of a, like, an adventure,
yeah.
you fight
Makes
a broken
sense.
Out dinosaur.
Yeah, because, like, in Westworld, you know, people go on these crazy cowboy adventures and stuff, and, you know,
it's a lined plot.
They can't die, so they feel more comfortable.
And that's why the kids are just off being idiots.
Yeah. There's no kids in Westworld, though, because of all the whoring.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's like Frank Reynolds said, where are the
whores? Family version.
Whores. It's a family version.
So that was a theory I heard. I was like, that kind of makes it. A little better.
I mean, I feel like they honestly could have made Jurassic World better by including that type of
plot. Right, because it doesn't make any other sense a woman can run in heels the entire fucking movie.
Dude.
Doesn't make sense.
You think they'll change? I guarantee you, I bet you $20, in the trailer or one of the trailers, they will show her feet and it won't be in high heels and they'll be like, look what we did. I guarantee
you. We took her out of high heels.
It'll be a part of their marketing. I guarantee it.
That'd be hilarious.
I guarantee it.
I'll be
We'll forget
terrible.
That we made this bet, but I guarantee it.
Yep.
All right. This guy lives at a ski resort during the off season. He went up and just found 5 GoPros just up in the melted snow. And
I've seen people just, like, dive in lakes that are frequently visited, like ones with slides or some shit or a rope swing. And
some guy says that you need GoPros. To put your name and address on a text file in the SD card if you lose your GoPro. But then the guy replied to that. It's like, I did that. No one sent me my GoPro back. Because if you found a free GoPro, would you send him it?
No.
No, me either.
No.
No, I'm man enough to admit that I would keep that shit.
GoPro should invent a Find My GoPro thing.
No, because then they wouldn't sell another one. Because I still have my GoPro.
That's a good point.
And I'll keep it for the next 10 years because it's 1080p and it's totally fine. It's all I'll ever need.
Also, yeah, you would have to have like a cell signal.
Yeah, that's also true. But they could do that.
They could.
They could do that. They could charge a monthly fee. You know? But yeah, I mean, I just think that's awesome. That I mean, that dude could sell that on eBay. I mean, there's $1,000 sitting right there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just so stupid.
And he just went out walking.
I found an article about the Beanie Babies that are worth money now. There's a Beanie.
There's
Baby.
Beanie Babies
there's
worth money.
Beanie Baby worth that the crab Beanie Baby is worth $10,000.
What?
Yes.
I thought they were worth like pennies.
No.
Now.
No, the crab Beanie Baby. I saw an article and said $10,000 went for one on or went
who?
Went for $10,000.
So what you're telling
on, like,
me is that
eBay
there's a chance my stuffed chicken up there will be worth money one day. Is that what you're saying to me?
Is it a Beanie Baby?
No, it's a Disney Tsum Tsum.
Maybe
it's got Disney attached to it, man.
Yeah, I would say anything from nowadays. Yeah, I bet in 40
this
years.
This is what we had. People like this right. Before the nuclear winter.
Yeah, because all the toys are going to be in virtual reality in the future. Go
right,
play with your hologram robot.
What about this robot right here that delivers toilet paper in hotels?
That's stupid.
This robot delivered a roll of toilet paper to my hotel room in Cupertino. So he ordered it for room service.
Okay. So it could deliver anything.
Right.
It's not just
he
a toilet paper.
He called down the front
robot.
Desk and said, I need more toilet paper. This robot rolled up to his door and gave him toilet paper.
That's stupid.
Top comment on this was that robot, if I was drunk, would look more like a toilet. If I requested toilet paper, and they would get a very unsatisfactory tip. So I thought that was funny, but like it says Aloft on it. Like we've seen those
toilet.
Hotels.
Yeah, I'd shit in that toilet.
It's crazy, dude. Robots right there delivering toilet paper. It's nuts.
That's why we got to go to California, man. The future's there right now.
This whole thing about slot machines, I feel can wait till next week.
Because
I really actually want to talk about this and discuss it, and I do not want to do a six-hour-long show today. So let's do this. I want to talk about this game real quick. It's not really a game. It's just a bit.
It's 4 o'clock.
Hey, it's 4 o'clock. There's this new website called Forgotify. Okay. I don't know why I'm pulling up it in the prep because I literally have it pulled up already on this computer and I just tried to mouse to it. I don't know if you noticed that. If you did and didn't say anything, I appreciate you. So what this does for Godify is it plays a song, a random song on Spotify that has absolutely no plays.
Mm.
So once it plays once in here, it'll never be played on this thing again because it has one play.
Okay.
So I just wanted to do as many as we want. And just see what type of songs exist out there that no one's
awesome.
Ever heard.
That's cool. That is an interesting site.
We'll do the next one. It's called I Wonder Why by Robert Blake. It's a very interesting cover art.
I wonder why.
He looks very interesting.
Seems so bright.
Robert Blake, a.k.a. Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob.
All right. I mean, honestly, as far as songs go, this one isn't bad.
No.
It sounds pretty amateur, but it's not bad.
I love you like I do.
And the more I listen to it, the worse it gets. Let's go to the next song.
Okay. Oh, God.
This one's not in America.
Oh, God. How has this not been played?
Dude, I don't know. It sounds like every other Spanish song I've ever heard.
Yeah, this has got to be played like at least 50 times. At 50 different consumers.
Okay, this next one is called Swaminatha Raga Natai Taladi. Okay, if the song takes more than 5 seconds to play, we skip. This one's called Lael Ashinar.
Hey guys, we're dispatched.
I was going to assume that they were going to be all like... Light.
Where we recorded America Location 12, I think, was really right significant. Here. It's a house turned studio. A
little porch where we would eat outside every night.
The weather was incredible.
They're just literally advertising charcoal
so
right now.
Got
stuff on the grill and that.
Dispatch.
Ignite your summer.
Is talking about Kingsford charcoal.
Do that.
I think it just made for a really healthy and exciting place to record. Check out the perfect summer barbecue playlist we put together on Spotify.
Shut up. All right,
get to JCPenney for our 4th
really?
Of July sale. Save
two?
Up to 50%.
How many of these ads have I listened to, man?
Holy
like LG,
shit.
GE and Samsung. Plus, get up to a 5.
Yeah, JCPenney ain't paying us nothing.
Spotify is terrible.
Two ads, dude.
I would hate to not pay for it.
We just listened to 3 songs. We got 2 ads.
That's crazy.
I mean, to be fair, we did skip them, but.
That's still crazy.
This JCPenney ad's still
a monthly payments required. Limit 1 Visa prepaid card by mail as a rebate.
Hey, guys, 40% off.
If you want major appliances.
Mornings.
Oh. third ad.
Three fucking ads?
All 30-second ads, too, dude. Wow. Do you have you ever had Belvita protein soft-baked biscuits?
Belvita?
Belvita.
No, that sounds like my dog food brand.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, come here, Carla. You want some Belvita? Sounds like a bad cheese. Yeah. What it is. All right, let's see. Are they doing disclaimers?
Now, to get a workout playlist tailored to your
musical
taste.
Ooh, a workout
taste.
Playlist.
So many playlists, you know, for these products, because music and products go together very well.
And then this
well.
Song didn't even work. Let's try Henry by Augustus. Augustus something. Augustus. All right. Maybe this app doesn't work. Let's Kick Some Ass by Vlad O on the album Hellraider Thunder and Lightning.
You conscious motherfucker.
This is what I'm talking about right here.
This fucking problem, we can straighten that right out.
Yeah, we'll break your leg and kick your fucking ass.
The, literally, the album art for this, it says, Hellraider, Thunder and Lightning, Techno, Hardcore, and Terror. This is from the year 2000. This is the first song we've heard that's actually bad. Should we skip like halfway through it?
Telling me this album has been out since 2000?
17 years.
And has not had one play.
Not one play, dude.
It's got to just be like brand new. Like he just put it up on Spotify.
I mean, it could be.
It came out in 2000, but he just put it up on Spotify. I was like, maybe I'll make some money. Who knows?
Hey, would you listen to this?
No.
I don't know who would.
The only time I would listen to this would be as if I just had done like an ounce of blow.
You just beating your chest? Yeah, dude. Just
in a rave.
All right, here's Morning Glory.
Perfect.
This is Can't Believe by Morning Glory on the album A Walk with Mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Starting really slow here.
Looking real good. It's a 10-minute song.
Is it just creepy laughing in the back?
I think so.
Chicken fried rice. Chicken fried rice.
Are we listening to the devil?
Like, what is this? Okay, let's skip like
this
5 minutes.
This is fucking
in.
Like straight from hell. That was a microphone in hell. You're just hearing demons and shit.
This is from 2006. I feel bad because some people, they paid for this, like, to be recorded and put up, and, like, there's a record label who, like, put this on Spotify, and, like, Lord Vishnu publishing ASCAP New Year.
Oh, God. That's sketchy.
This is the last 30 seconds. Or last minute, sorry.
This is a completely open guitar. He's not holding down one string. He's just fucking picking all the strings back and forth.
Okay. A Walk with Mystery has 1,632 plays.
Wow.
That's the most popular song.
That's the one we just heard.
No, we heard Can't Believe, yeah. Which has less than 1,000. Monthly listeners, 15.
I'm surprised it's
that's probably them.
Yeah.
It's probably on one of their playlists. I mean, that's bad, but compared to what the song that no one had listened to was.
Wow! Wow!
Alright, you can tell from this cover art right here.
Wow!
That has a fat man in a Wally chair and then a porn director on a diving board. This is Blue Refrain by DiMaggio Bros on the album When I Hit My Stride. Okay, so far, not too bad.
Sounds familiar.
They have 68 monthly listeners. Oh, I did not expect that.
DiMaggio Bros.
This is not good either.
It's like people actually thought this was a good idea to put up on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, this is literally the type of music you hear. This one's in German. We're not going to waste it.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, by DJ E.
Oh, you sure it's not Tony P? Oh, God.
What is this?
This is Matthew having sex. Somebody recorded it and turned it into a song, man. It's catchy.
You know, back in the old days of our show, like the 2008 days, I would grab this and we would play it all the time on the old show.
This is 2013?
That's crazy.
I like clicking on the artist and seeing, like,
DJ.
He has 372 monthly listeners. I wonder if a play constitutes a full play.
I don't know.
Because it's totally possible. I could see 372 people clicking this song and going, no, and then going to the next track.
Right. I would assume it would read it as a click, yeah.
Okay, is this better or worse than Tony P? Because we were drunk, and we thought that one song he made was actually kind of good. We were drunk, all right? So if we say that this is better...
No, this is worse.
It's way worse. Like, even if we were drunk, we would be like, not this.
Yep. This would... The only reason why this is still on is because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Other than that, that would... If we were in any other situation, that song would have been turned off in 5 seconds.
Yep. All right, here we go. This song is called Inconsolable by Paul Woolner. From the album Where I Live, songs by Paul Woolner. So he's got his name on there twice, so God. This better be good.
Paul Warner is very into himself.
It's wool.
Wool.
Like sheep.
Wool.
This is the first track on his album. The first track. 2006. 5 monthly listeners.
Inconsolable. In need. Inconsolable.
This is like if we made a joke song called Inconsolable, we would literally just go Inconsolable. Like, that's what we would do.
Way too upbeat.
Inconsolable. I don't think he's saying it right either. Yeah. All right.
Terrible.
We're going to skip the non-English ones. Change of Key Boogie by Clyde Hart with album art like that, dude.
It's great font.
Last Night on the Back Porch by Al Broussard. I kind of like this. He's going to ruin it by singing, isn't he?
Yeah.
14 monthly listeners for this guy. Okay, it's getting worse. Like, he's gotten a thing and he can't get out of it.
Found this weird rhythm. I'm going with it. Am I on tempo? I don't know. I don't really know.
He's not on tempo.
I don't think so.
Not even close.
It's literally just him pressing chords on the piano.
Like, if you were in a restaurant and this was in the corner, you know, and it was kind of quiet and you're having hummus and, you know, drinking margaritas or whatever. It's a weird restaurant where you drink margaritas and eat hummus. But, like, you could kind of be like, this is kind of nice for atmosphere. And I could see a guy with, like, a basket with CDs in front of me, you know, $10. Someone picks this up. This is not someone's just going to listen to.
No. Especially on CD.
He is singing. And I'm loving the fall.
Is it like a thing with like old folksy jazz guys to just turn the gain up on their microphones?
just blow it out?
They're all just...
I mean, they have engineers and stuff. I mean, they've got to have people telling them this is too loud.
Like you're peeking, you're cracking. The audio's cracking. Turn down the. Turn down the mic. Yeah. Don't really get it.
Dude, he's just jamming. It sounds like a toddler is playing.
Yeah. Like I feel like he thinks like this is like some Ray Charles kind of crazy ass. I'm freestyling.
I agree.
But literally, it's just pressing buttons.
Yeah, that's not good. Oh, here's the original mix. Ooh.
Oh. Twisted House.
You want to try to pronounce this? Bellabule?
Bellabule.
By DJ Cone?
That dude better wear a cone on his head when he performs.
Now, DJ Cone himself has 3,700 monthly listeners.
I hate DJs that just have the same thing for half of the fucking song, and it's like, oh, now we're starting to get up, starting to build the beat up.
This
a
song
bit.
Is we're 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
It's
into
the
this
same
song.
Tempo.
Yeah, it's
it
the
didn't
same
change
song.
Once. Like, what is this good for? That's great for a backing track to
the Chainsmokers pick them up and sample part
definitely
of the beat.
Definitely not.
So
no,
their hope, like, that's their hope.
That is like great. Like, here, you're here to learn how to milk your breast correctly. Let me teach you that. First, you grab here, then you put the baby on. Welcome to the. I was gonna do like learn Photoshop.
Yeah,
but I felt like
milk your breast instead.
I thought that was better. In
the mountains by my this is Boogie Boots sang this song.
Boogie Boots?
Yeah, I was not expecting a low key.
Dreamcatcher by
Chaser
by Boogie Boots. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, we've got
this ought to be good right here. War
Boogie
Dance.
Boogie Boots. Inspiration to Duel the Fates.
Oh my god, there's a sad man on this cover art.
That's what Christmas is.
This is Jeff Bates. That's what Christmas is. Off his album, That's What Christmas Is. He looks so very sad.
It's that old familiar drive. 1000% it was gonna be country.
Yeah, of course.
Look at
his logo.
You couldn't not.
There's no way a logo like that is not country.
Yeah. Just like Grandpa did. Just like Grandpa.
And my wife took her shotgun, and she loaded up the ornaments, and she shot my ass from here to Tennessee. That's what Christmas is.
Oh, God.
Maria Christina? No. Happy Driver? Oops. Oops, I hit share instead of next. I've messed up. Too Tight Rag. Kohaba Hat High Kusubo.
That was really all correct.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's a very... just pictures of tomatoes on that one.
Let's do this. Polka del Barril de Cerveza a Coger el Trebole la Basca Reunida deste Sanchurse a Bilbao Eres Alte Y Delgada Quisiera Sertan Alta La Conga Una de Erno Police
Polka, I believe.
Pulse.
I'm trying to get it to where it's dark. Here we go.
Pulsa al colger el trebole imas.
Okay. And that is on a picture of tomatoes, and here it is.
That was Random Spanish Words featuring Colby. Is this a Spanish?
The artist on this is the Spanish Caribe Hits? Karabe Hits.
Caribe. Yep, I wish I knew what any of those words meant. I got polka.
You got polka, dude. Here's one from Boogie Warehouse.
God, what is with people with the name Boogie? Nobody's
no one likes
listening
Boogie,
to Boogie.
But this is an album edit, so you know it's legit. Tony P had album edits. In case you know, it got played on the radio. Yeah, just normal and bad. There's lots of, like, soundtracks. You know, like, stuff that, like... Here we go. Chris Speed, The Dream and The Memory Store. On the album, yeah, no. '97. This song is 20 years old.
Wow.
When Chris Speed was making Yano, you were basically still in diapers.
Yep.
And since that time, not one person has streamed this song on Spotify.
I'm telling you, they had to have just put it up.
I mean, does that make you feel a little good that more people listen to our voices than have heard this?
Yes. That does make
Because, you know, I mean, this guy paid for studio time. Like, he got album art made.
That's insane.
He probably tried to sell it.
Yeah, because this sounds like...
What is this?
Yeah,
garbage.
This sounds like a band. Like,
yeah.
Literally, like, there's
we'll
this
try one of his other songs. Should we
did
dare?
Not do all of these instruments.
Let's see how many monthly listens this guy has. 1,000.
This dude knows how to play the trumpet, and then he got other...
Here's people. Their number one song. It's called K. Just the letter K. All of his songs sound like 1970s cartoons with bad recording. Like, the tape just isn't running fast
enough.
You know, the VHS is a little worn out. Mm-hmm. God, this is horrible.
Sounds like Elliot Moss.
8,000 people have listened to this trash.
Oh,
is it like jazz? Is
I
that what this
so.
Is?
Yeah.
This is seriously like restaurant music. Like, yeah. This is stuff you have in a restaurant, yeah. And they just have like a disc in a basket for you.
Yep, or like a wine store.
Yeah.
Here, you get this wine, you get this free CD.
Right.
You listen to this and relax with your wine.
Dude, this makes me filled with rage. This doesn't make
this
me
makes
relax.
Me want to kill people.
All right, well, let's play our beautiful song.
Fuck this jazz shit.
Let's play our beautiful song, which is now playing. Headspin. This is the song that defines our show. Everything about our show is around this. So if you guys want to go to forgotify.com and listen to some really bad songs, it's there. You could probably blow like
get some
6 hours
some
at work.
Plays. Like, it's sad that people put
yeah.
stuff up on
I think
Spotify
they get,
and
like,
literally have never been played.
It is sad. It does make me a little sad. But they get like, what, like a sixth of a penny every time you play?
I think it's like 3% of a cent.
So it's like even, it's like a 60th of
yeah,
a penny.
It's not even a
it's nothing.
Penny.
So you're not actually giving these guys any money, but think of it this way. In a small way, you are contributing to Spotify, and they're making money, and they have employees who have families.
There
so
you go.
You can think of it that way, but it doesn't help the artist in any way. No
it
one cares
not.
About Chris Speed.
Nope.
Nope.
He should not have put his stuff on Spotify.
No, probably not. Probably not a good idea, because we just now embarrassed him. But, Chris, if you're listening, lots of people just heard your song, man.
Yeah,
so.
Man. We're giving opportunities here.
Yeah, send us a free CD. P.O. Box. No. Yeah, no. Okay?
Yeah, no. Send it there.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Seth and Colby Show, guys. Thank you a lot. We did some crazy shit today.
Yep, well,
talked about movies. Talked about the CIA. I did an Alex Jones impression on accident.
Great.
Talked about Cameron. Described the entire plot of Transformers 3 days after it
don't
released.
Don't need to pay $17
nope.
bucks to see it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. We played some songs that no one have ever heard. World premiere songs on the Seth and Colby Show today. World premiere music.
Wow.
We talked about unemploying Matthew and the world be a better place and other stuff. So, yeah, thank you guys for watching. Listen, we'll be back next Sunday, right?
We'll be back.
Like, it's the, a couple
as
days
as
before.
You don't have any more vacations or get sick or nothing.
I don't, man. I don't. This is the only show I'm doing next week, probably, because, you know, my podcast, my Destiny show is on Tuesday, which is the 4th of July. Can't do it. So, you know, Seth and Cole, it's my true love. What can I say, man? But, yeah, guys, thanks a lot for watching. We'll be back next Sunday, 2 o'clock Central Time. SethandColby.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Leave us a review. Watch the video. Watch the live. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.